If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You don't have to sleep on that couch.
No, it's okay.
No, it's not. This is a huge bed. Come on, just get in and get a good night's sleep.
I am so glad I came into work today.
Ooh. Ooh.
Gay.
I hate gay people, so, you know, I let it be known. I don't like gay people. I don't like to be around gay people.
That's the way it is? Then I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
Oh, that's it. I left Big Boy for this. Oh, no.
If I wanted to hear from an ass, I'd fart.
Guys, don't you see this is just what the terrorists want us to do? The war is out there, man, out there. Now pull it together.
I'm going to take a recess right now because I'm so mad at both of you guys. I'm about to hold both of you in contempt.
And now,
losers. Come on. Is that what we are?
Apparently.
Our feature presentation.
We're on the electric radio here. Hi, it's me, Doc on the Rock. Uh-oh. Hope you hear me. I don't hear myself. A typical beginning to this typically ridiculous block of airtime that we call Open Line. What's How are you? I haven't been live on the radio with you people in a long time.
Turn on your microphone, Doc.
It's such an experience.
Doc?
Are we on the air? Boy, I sure can't hear myself or anybody else. But that's
right. Big button that says mic one.
It always begins this way, and then Kevin and Bean will tape it.
Yep.
And they'll put it on and make fun of me.
Repeatedly.
On the weekday show.
Right.
I don't know why I don't hear myself very loud. I don't know why.
You don't have your mic on.
Talking very loud.
You have another mic on.
What would that be?
Not yours.
I've created.
It's really broadcasting 101.
Tell me, producer.
Mic's off.
You got me fooled. Anyway.
You're.
Try that. No, it doesn't make a dang bit of difference.
No, because your microphone.
How are you? Anyway. Is your day starting as badly as mine?
Nope.
Oh, Doc on the Rock never gets an even break when he comes in here once a year to do this show.
Got
to
turn
somebody
else's fault.
Tries to figure out.
Turn on your own mic.
He sounds like he's talking in a tin box.
Because the mic's on across the room.
Let's try. Hello.
There you go.
You know what?
That's why.
There you go.
Oh, they'll love this downtown, folks. The idiot had the wrong mic on.
Yes,
that idiot
did.
Would be me.
Yes, he is.
Well, that gets the kinks out of the bones and the joints here, and when we can go on with Open Line. I had to do that. If anybody has a tape of this show, destroy it. I will maim the person who lets Kevin and Bean have that.
Psycho Mike. Psycho Mike.
I don't remember that
going
laugh.
Down. Yeah, I don't think we played it through the end last time.
That's a freaky laugh right
it's
there.
Not a laugh.
That's evil.
Emphysema.
Right. Thank you, Doctor.
Psycho Mike's going down.
Yeah.
That's fantastic audio right there.
Isn't that great?
Because here's what's weird. Here's what's unusual about that, and even people who aren't in radio can figure this out. If he could hear himself in the room, then clearly a microphone was on somewhere. Right?
Right.
So he knew he was on the air. He knew he could be heard through the other microphone, and then it was just a simple question of realizing that it wasn't the right microphone that you were talking into, so just push that button, you're done. He should have figured out what it took him a minute and a half to figure out in about 5 seconds.
Right, exactly. And there's only one button that's labeled announcer. The other ones are guest one, guest two, guest three.
No kidding.
Exactly.
Wow, that does seem easy.
Right? So it's got a unique labeling system. Well,
Lisa May, Marty, somebody, please. Can somebody kill Doc on the Rock? God, he's the most annoying person I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
Please, someone kill that f***er.
Okay, well. And miss out on that gold? Doc just said something in my ears, but I don't know what it was. I'm afraid to
look. Did he have the mic on?
It's a threat.
Could you hear it?
I could hear it in my left ear only. I don't know what happened. No.
Okay, sorry.
Mike wants to pot him up. What kind of bad decision is that?
We don't even do that for the news.
What's wrong with you?
Exactly. Excellent point, Lisa. Anyway, I was in the mood to hear that again, and I enjoyed it just as much today as I did first time around.
Have we gotten any closer to figuring out, have the scientists on floor two gotten any closer to figuring out what it means when he says they'll love this downtown?
No.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
They'll love this downtown, folks.
I don't even know where we're
downtown. Why?
I have thought about that. Now, there is an office of CBS that is kind of our corporate office in Los Angeles. I think that is down on Wilshire Boulevard.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Is it? Well, you know, back, you know, over where.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
But that is not downtown.
I don't think but that, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, we're as much in L.A. as they are here in Compton. Yeah. But I don't understand. I mean, that's the only thing I can possibly think he might have been referring to. But we don't really have bosses over there, per se, so I don't know what he means.
Oh, they'll love this downtown, folks.
Okay. They'll love that everywhere, Doc.
What a joy there.
He's very happy, isn't he?
Yes.
All right, let's put Doc up. Hey, Doc.
Oh, no, come on.
Oh, Doc. Doc.
Hi, Doc.
Turn on your mic. Turn on your mic. No,
it's the big button that says announcer.
No, is that O or is that, that's Q? That's him.
Program O. He is.
Turn on your mic. Put it in program. He's talking.
He saw it. Figured that out.
All right, hold on. I'm going to the other room.
No, let's, I don't know that it's that we need to.
It's a mystery that must be solved.
That mystery.
There you go.
Is he talking to us?
I had the board set up for production.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay.
Sorry.
God, Doc.
Hey, I was having fun. If you're going to, you know, have lemons, you make lemonade.
That's
right.
Right. Okay, but what does it mean, they'll love this downtown? I don't understand.
I haven't the faintest idea. It's automatic writing. It's entirely done in my sleep, like your show.
Oh, I love that.
It's like so
there is no downtown that we're unaware of that pulls the strings on this Dog and Pony show.
We noticed.
Okay.
Okay.
That was more of a question.
All right, Doc.
Okay, that's all right.
All right. You did good work on that open mouth. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Well, thank God we went to him.
Morning, everybody.
Certainly cleared things up for us, didn't it?
Morning, everybody. It is Thursday morning, the 29th of May I See Them?
Not what I call bodacious, but firm, supple, pleasing to the eye.
Yeah. Pleasing to the eye. Mm. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
Yes.
All right. We have DeJuan Cribbs.
Oh,
yes.
Finally.
That is all I care about.
DeJuan.
I'm the only one applauding, but I sense that everyone is with me on that.
Yes,
we are.
I'm very excited.
I saw this yesterday. It is fantastic. Cycle Mike went over to DeJuan's house. Did a Cribs episode. DeJuan, very familiar with Cribs from MTV, mm-hmm. which we clearly not only stole it from, but used the same name and right. the MTV logo, I'm pretty sure.
We're clever. Intro.
Yes, we are. He was ready for it.
Every woman out there is so jealous that Lisa May has already seen the Sex and the City movie. That's how I feel about you seeing the DeJuan Cribs.
I know.
It's a burden. Oh, I'm so jealous right. that you've already seen that.
You really want to be first on the block. Right.
Screw Indiana Jones. Screw Iron Man. Screw Speed Racer. Screw them all, man. This is the blockbuster hit of the summer right here is DeJuan Cribs. This is the one I've been most looking forward to.
He's the best.
He is
the best. I love him. I told you. DeJuan. How many times have I said to you, I want him to come live at my barn. I really do.
Yeah, that's not a very good invitation.
Right
that's a bad invitation.
It'd be so fantastic. I could go down and see him when I go down and feed cows and stuff. I could hang out with DeJuan and, you know, he could help me down there in the barn, like, you know, scoop poo and stuff.
It'd
be
in the
awesome.
House,
really?
Too?
He could live in a barn and scoop poo?
He could.
Wow.
I'm willing to open up that portion of my property to DeJuan.
How could anyone turn that down?
I just love him so much. He's the best. Mike, you had fun over there, right?
I want to go back every day. Okay. I want to move in.
You want to move in with DeJuan at Bean's barn?
No. I want to move in with DeJuan in his apartment.
Okay.
And I believe
he'd be the best roommate
ever.
If
you offer up the barn to him, he'd be more than content to stay where he is and play Zelda.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
That
I can't wait for that. That's in less than a half an hour from right now, our DeJuan Cribs.
That's correct.
Okay.
Also, today we're going to talk about karma and how that works because
it doesn't.
There are certain of us,
Bean,
who doesn't believe in karma at all.
I really don't either.
It's a scam.
But it's one of those things where I was raised Catholic, mm-hmm. but I'm not Catholic now. But if I were to have a baby, I would have it baptized just in case.
Just in case. What's the downside? I guess a lot of people feel.
So the karma thing is if I do something really crappy, then I don't feel like I can expect good things to happen to me. So I don't do things that are really crappy, even though I don't believe in karma.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Now you're talking crazy. They're going to love that downtown.
It's kind of like what Kevin says when he's talking about the sports superstitions, which is, look, it may not work, but why take the chance?
Exactly.
You might as well just go ahead and do it just to cover your ass in case.
Why risk it?
That's exactly right.
You could be wrong.
Right.
Wrong.
Or wrong.
Right. TV show is coming up that we're very excited about called The Jingle Show. And it is a bunch of contestants get on the program and they write jingles.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess they move into a house and jingle together, and
I can't wait.
Someone gets—I
don't think they live in a house.
Someone gets kicked out each week, and Flava Flav pours out one for his homies. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't,
I don't know.
I don't think any of that is part of it, though. In case you're wondering what a jingle is, by the way, if you don't know the term. Time for another guest. That's a jingle. That's the sort of thing that people write for commercials. For instance, you hear little songs that you sing about Oscar Mayer or whatever it is. And there's big money in it. I mean, it is a job that people actually have in this town and in New York as well. And Mark Burnett is the guy. He's the genius behind this show. He also created Survivor and so many other great shows over the years. The Apprentice is one of his. And he seems to think that we're going to be interested in watching people come up with songs that are 15 seconds long. And he's right. He's right for me. I'll tell you that. I'll watch.
Well, you will?
I think
I will.
You will?
Well, yeah. I mean, just because it's
bad?
It could be that.
Jingles.
It could be that bad.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Like, remember, I really wasn't intending to watch.
Remember when Omar came up with that fantastic song about, or was it Lightning?
Who
came?
This was Lightning.
Lightning came up.
Like, this was his
coup de grace.
Crowning moment. This was his Citizen Kane.
When we found out that a person that we knew in New York City was an internet predator, and he came up with this. The
internet. Chip! Hanging on every word.
Chip.
Masturbating for you.
Chip.
He's the internet predator. Chip.
Chip.
Now that comes in at a very lengthy 17 seconds. I don't know if that's too long for the jingle show.
What the rules are, yeah.
Well, I can't wait to talk to Mark. I'm very excited about this show.
Find out about that. We got thanks for that info bean on today's program.
Oh, we're not going to have time for that. We're way too busy.
Got to tell you about the new James Bond scent. Avon is putting out Bond Girl 007.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Very excited about that. And we have tickets for you to go to the MTV Movie Awards this Sunday, hosted by Mike Myers.
Oh, that'll be fun.
And we're going to play a game we haven't played in a long time, El Rey de las Películas.
Oh,
I don't know what those words mean, but we came up with a game that involved them at one point, and we'll figure it out between now and then.
How about the basketball game?
I don't think they're going to like that downtown.
Maybe not.
5:42.
Bam Anderson.
We'll take a quick break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz beat next.
I think we mentioned the MTV Movie Award tickets that you can win later on this morning. We also have tickets for you to see The Cure. Two big shows coming to Southern California this weekend. Doing a greatest hits tour this time around, by the way. Going to be doing all your favorites, they say, throughout their entire career. And if you want to see them, well, keep listening to K-Rock. We'll hook you up with the tickets for the Hollywood Bowl and The Shrine. Both shows this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. That looks like Ralph Garman there in the K-Rock studio.
Nope.
It is Ralph Garman.
No.
Really? It's not.
Nope.
Time for the Showbiz Beat with whoever.
Sven Magnussen.
Sven Magnussen.
Nice. Good morning. Good to see you.
What's going on today, Sven?
It'd be great if we had a Swede working with us.
Yes, it would.
I love the Swedes. Sure, we do have one. Lisa occasionally breaks into Swedish. Lukey, Lukey. Here comes Tukey. Sad news. Well, good news, actually, for the ladies. Sad news for Sarah Larsson. People magazine is saying that George Clooney and his current girlfriend, or recently current girlfriend Sarah Larsson, are no more.
Oh, really?
Oh, you're kidding.
They're claiming the pair has split up after a year of dating. His representatives would only say, "We do not comment on George's personal life, largely because we cannot keep track of all the women he burns through."
That's what they said.
They didn't add that last part, but... How can you comment? It's like a revolving door over there.
Need a team, Clooney
specialists.
Manor.
That's right.
But he dated this one long enough for us to have heard her name at least, which is always the case.
She was a significant part of his life, and now is less so.
I don't think we would have had she not fallen off the motorcycle, though. Wasn't that the point where
that
everybody
was?
Would,
yeah.
Oh, who's he with?
That and the fiery debate about her hotness.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Some people, I won't say who, said she wasn't attractive.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Must be the king.
I think he was. I think he was one of that camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Lisa, too.
No, I thought she was okay.
She said, "Lukey, Lukey."
Did she say that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Kristen Davis.
Belle?
Nope.
Belle?
I think she's very attractive. I think she's cute. Before, she's the winner.
Right. She's very pretty. She's the brunette.
She's one of the Sex and the City girls.
Yeah.
She's the one who had the naked photos come out a few weeks ago.
Got it.
Talking to Young Hollywood, saying that she can recognize that sobering up is a lot of work because she gave up alcohol 20 years ago.
Really?
Wow.
But has been clean and sober since. He says, however, she still misses the feeling of throwing a few back once in a while. Listen, I saw those photographs. She throws one back just fine.
It's always a good time.
Kristen claims just because you go to rehab doesn't mean the urge goes away. Well, yeah. I think everyone knows that. I don't think it's a cure. It's a way to manage it. One day at a time, people. No?
Yeah, one day at a time. That's right.
Right, Kevin?
Yep.
You with me?
Absolutely.
Samantha Ronson is now denying rumors that she is going to marry her girlfriend, Lindsay Lohan.
Okay. I don't think any of us care this much.
No.
Get married or don't.
It's a slow news week.
Where's all the arguing coming in?
She told TMZ.com yesterday the story is simply not true. However, she did not deny the relationship, so.
Yes.
Not getting married, but a lot of...
Okay.
A lot of that.
That's what I'm guessing.
But what about...
Chicks love Wang Bone.
What about that?
I think that's why they have strap-ons and such things their ass.
Yeah, that's right.
By the way, speaking of the lesbians, I was thinking about this. Remember yesterday we were talking to the Stitch and Pitch people that had the Dodger game coming up with the knitting on? Well, that's the wrong direction for baseball to be going in. I think all agree. And last night at the Mariners game, they threw out a couple of chicks that were making out during the game. They threw them out.
Now,
again,
sport ever.
This is why baseball is the worst sport
ever.
This
is two strikes in a row against my beloved baseball this week. I don't know if I can stand this anymore.
You put them on the Jumbotron and you watch.
That's yes.
And then you reward them with something.
They wouldn't throw out a straight couple.
That's not baseball. That's Mariners baseball.
Yeah, that's true.
Seriously.
Stinking Washington. Worst state in the union.
Apparently, they have a rule that's against PDA, and that's what they use to enforce this by throwing. But I think Lisa's right. I don't know that I've ever heard of a heterosexual couple being thrown out, and I just I was outraged.
I heard as they were leaving, they were shooting at them with a T-shirt cannon too. That's just cruel.
from insult to injury, right there.
Exactly,
just knocking them down.
Holly Madison, girlfriend of Hugh Hefner, says that she may never realize her dream of having Hugh's baby.
That's her dream?
Yeah. She wants to get married and have Hugh's baby.
Wow.
She tells an interviewer recently that they've tried everything to conceive, but with no success.
I wonder why, Ralph?
I think Hugh's sperm's just too tired.
Just weary?
Yes, sperm's on the walkers, and they just can't get to the egg in time. So he says she's looking for a sperm donor now.
Okay.
Oh!
Who is a creative genius, is totally hot, and has dark hair.
Thank
well,
you.
All right. If you insist, Holly Madison.
Shut up,
she said
Mike.
That specifically?
Yes.
Huh. That's weird.
No, actually, what she's looking for in a sperm donor.
Oh, really?
Those
oh,
are the
I thought
criteria.
You made that up.
No. Creative genius, totally hot, and dark hair. That's what she's looking for.
Why doesn't she just wait about a year, and then her next boyfriend can impregnate her?
How dare you?
Oh, I'm just saying. The guy's 80-something.
Yeah. Hugh's mom lived to be 112, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. So he has a genetic predisposition to longevity.
Bean does not speak for anyone else on the Kevin and Bean Show.
No, he does not.
I love Hugh. Believe me, it's going to be a very sad day when he goes, but I'm just saying, she's so young, she'll still have plenty of time to have a child whenever she moves on to her next
relationship.
Not if
he that's lives to be 112.
That's right.
Well, that's true.
And by the way, Hugh Hefner, sharp as a tack. One of those
older certainly
dudes
is.
Who just has not lost a step. So.
You look at him and go, I hope I'm that sharp at his age.
Yeah.
Kevin, you should be hoping you're that sharp now.
I know.
Yeah, really.
I'm saying most people hope
that. Sharp 20 years ago.
Ever.
Pete Wentz is flimsy.
Oh.
He's already spoiling his new bride, Ashley Simpson, according to E! Online. He has commissioned a private artist to create a custom piece of art for his wife.
Okay.
You know, anyone know what that piece is?
Is it painting?
Nope.
Is it a statue?
Sculpture?
Sort of.
Sort of.
A giant bumblebee made out of Legos.
Oh.
Why?
Pete apparently considers the bee the symbol of romance. It'll be 47 inches tall and will take 18,000 Legos to create. This guy's the weakest ever! Ever! Here, honey, here's your giant Lego bumblebee.
Hey,
screw you!
Thank you?
Ass.
Nothing says love like that gift.
That's for sure.
Sweet. I don't think we are on the same page.
No.
That's an odd gift, but okay.
Heidi and Spencer are ready to take another stab at marriage.
At marriage?
Yep.
Heidi and Spencer?
Yep. Getting married, according to Us Weekly magazine.
Yes.
Heidi tells the magazine that Spencer is her soulmate.
Yes.
And she convinced him to take another shot at being her husband by reading... I'm sorry. Let me turn this around. Spencer convinced her to give him another shot at being her husband by reading her Bible passages on their recent Mexican vacation.
I would give anything to hear
anything.
That.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wouldn't? Oh, my God.
I think Spencer Pratt should go into the ministry. I think he should get a congregation and he should start preaching.
I agree.
Because
la 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 la.
That would be a church that I would attend on a regular basis.
Are you kidding?
Forget Obama's loony reverend.
No.
I want to hear the gospel according to Spence.
Now, they've been on and off engaged, and now they're trying again for seriously? Is that what you're suggesting here?
Yes.
This time it may end up in matrimony.
Spencer convinced her by reading her Bible passages, according to Heidi.
Okay.
I'm going to say that's not true.
Heidi said it.
Yeah, I know. But
you can't trust
Heidi.
Yeah,
but she also said he's her soulmate, my God in heaven.
You can't trust Heidi. Who can you trust? Jamie Lynn Spears?
Sure.
She's got a name for her baby, according to In Touch magazine. The pregnant, unmarried 17-year-old plans to name her daughter. Huge mistake.
No. Huge is the first name?
Huge mistake.
Hugh.
G. Mistake.
Okay.
Yes. No, it's a daughter, it's a girl, and her name will be Emma Jean.
Oh, no.
Of course it will be. Emma Jean.
Because apparently Ellie Mae was already taken by the Beverly Hillbillies, you freaking white trash.
Is it Britney's middle name, Jean?
I don't know.
Isn't she Britney Jean? Is that right, Mike?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
Come on, Mike. Slut.
Wow. A lot of name calling here.
Whores and sluts going on today. Let's take a look at celebrity birthdays, shall we? Composer Danny Elfman.
Oh,
he, of course, has given
best.
Us many, many legendary screen soundtracks. A lot of Tim Burton movies, especially.
Yep, he's amazing.
He used to be in a little band called Oingo Boingo as well.
Yeah.
You may remember.
That doesn't ring a bell.
When are you guys getting back together? Ask him that again. He's 55 years old today. LaToya Jackson.
Oh,
yeah. The crazy Jackson.
The craziest.
And that takes something.
Yeah, really. How do you stand out in that family as being nuts? She is 52 years old today. I hope she goes back to the Schenectady Police Force, wherever the hell she was when she was fighting crime on some TV series.
She's in Ohio or something.
Gary, right? Gary, Indiana.
Was it?
It doesn't matter where. She needs to
Muncie,
be in the
country. Wasn't it Muncie?
Muncie, yeah,
there you go.
Thanks, Rob.
The Jackson was from Gary. That's what it.
That's right. She was in Playboy a few years ago, if I recall, and had a pretty banging body, if I remember correctly.
Yes. For 52, she's holding up pretty well. We know Black Don't Crack. As we've
That's right.
Said.
That is true.
Actress Annette Bening is 50 years old today. Actress Rupert Everett is 49 years old today. Guitarist Noel Gallagher of Oasis turns 41 years old today. And Melanie Brown, Scary Spice of the Spice Girls,
there
is 33 years old today. Talk about banging bodies.
No kidding.
I just saw her the other day. Holy crap.
Do you know which one she is, Kevin?
No,
Do you
I don't.
Picture her? Oh.
She's the black.
Yeah. The black one?
She's the black.
Yeah. She's cute.
Wasn't she the one with Eddie Murphy?
She was the one who got pregnant by Eddie Murphy. Yeah. And I'll tell you, some motherhood is good to some women's bodies, not so good to others.
Right.
But Melanie B has really just filled out and rounded up and big scoops of caramel flesh now she's got. And that's good.
That's chocolatey goodness.
Chocolatey goodness. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
When we lost our producer, Lightning, after many, many years earlier this year, it was our loss, but the gain of KROQ.com, which has just become excellent. I don't know if you guys go to the site very often, but there's so much good stuff up there all the time, including, for instance, right now, exclusive Weenie Roast video highlights. You can buy now through KROQ.com Metallica's entire concert performance for $7.99, for instance. That's something new that we've offered.
Oh, wow.
How cool is that? Because you know how great they were. I mean, they did an amazing set. That brand new Weezer video we were telling you about yesterday that has all the internet stars in it, like the Chocolate Rain Kid. You can see that video up there for free. We've brought back the Warped Tour internship. We're doing it again this year. Go to the front page of KROQ.com. You can apply to be this year's Warped Tour intern. You'll travel to every stop of the tour. You get a brand new video camera, and you get to make a video out on the road that we'll put up on KROQ.com. I mean, there's just stuff like that all over the place, including a brand new edition of Kevin and Bean's Cribs that just debuted this morning on the site as well.
Now, we started with Cribs. Who was the first one? Was the Armenian comedian?
Doto.
I'm sorry, what?
Doto.
Doto was the first one, right?
He was number one.
He calls us a bunch, has been on the air a bunch. He wants to be in showbiz.
Yes, he does.
He's the international man of mystery. He travels the world.
Psycho Mike. What's a woman, 5'8 or 5'9?
Psycho Mike found some strange stuff in his room.
Why did I just stumble upon a collection of hundreds of pairs of women's panties?
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
Okay, so that was odd.
By the way, that's a guilty man's talking
exactly.
Right there.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
I don't know what you guys are talking.
By the way, you guys, yeah. It's, you don't use the plural when you're talking
right into my face.
It's just Mike. So that video is up at krock.com.
Yes. Then we moved on to Sam the Armenian Comedian.
Went to his house, did Armenian Comedian Cribs.
Yeah.
And Mike kicked him in the nuts, so that's funny. That's on the video.
And now we've moved on to a Mr. Dewan.
Now, Dewan is a guy who calls us usually very early. Usually he's up, still up, at 5:30. And he emails Bean a lot, and Bean tries to get him to call us on the air. He's magic. He's the Drew Barrymore fan.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Drew Barrymore is how we first fell in love with him. But here's the thing about Dewan. You cannot feel bad talking to Dewan because he's so positive and friendly and optimistic and happy and just enjoying life and simple. And I mean that in a good way. He just doesn't get all cluttered up with like nonsense. You know what I mean?
Dewan is much like a pretty little puppy. There's nothing negative coming out
right,
of him.
Exactly.
Everything that
emits
out good of him is just positive.
So we sat down with Mike and we said, dude, you know, you're going over to Dewan's house. Be cool.
Right.
And Mike said, that's not me. You got to worry about it. It's Lightning. So we got Lightning. We sat him down. We said, dude, you're going over to Dewan's house. Be cool. We like him.
Right.
Not me. You need to worry about it. It's Mike. So we had that big argument. But Psycho Mike went over there. Lightning went over there with a video camera. It's up at krock.com.
Mm-hmm.
Videos. You can see the Dewan cribs.
Hi, welcome to my house, guys. Come on in.
Dewan was ready for him. He'd seen cribs. He knew what it was all about. Welcome them in with open arms.
What part of town is Dewan calling home these days, Mike?
He's living on Crenshaw.
Crenshaw?
Keeping it real, as they say.
All right.
Nice place?
Yeah.
So as soon as Mike walks in, Dewan begins the tour immediately with the entertainment system.
This is my entertainment system. This is the Nintendo Wii. This is my Xbox 360. I play movies in there. This is a DirecTV satellite system with the DVR, but no premium channels.
Here's what I like about Dewan. He says that like it's a positive. Like, with no premium channels.
He just wants to give us full disclosure. He doesn't want to hold anything back.
Don't have any of those ugly premium channels messing up this DVR.
I don't know if you guys thought of this, but here's the first thing I thought. Now, I'm hearing this tape for the first time this morning. He said that so that nobody would assume that he was watching naked ladies on his TV. You want to make sure that you knew there were no premium channels so he doesn't have any of those dirty channels. Dirty shows.
Maybe. That could be. So Mike sees some magazines and asks Dewan about those. They seem to have some kind of a theme running.
All Drew Barrymore magazines. All ones. Yep.
What do you do with all those magazines of Drew Barrymore?
I read them.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's it.
That's what he does. He's got like a fashion magazine from 3 years ago. You know, whatever. He's just got a bunch of magazines.
I mean, because I collect old magazines with Adriana Lima in them.
Sure.
But I laminate them.
Right.
You know, so, and I didn't want to like push too far with
Dewan. Of course not.
But he does have magazines.
It's a true love.
It is.
Right. But
it
he
is.
Does have magazines from like 2001. So I just kind of wanted to know why he would hold
on
to those.
He reads them.
He does. He reads them.
So then they move on to his movie collection, which also seems to have a bit of a theme.
51st Dates.
Who's in that movie?
Yep. Fever Pit.
Now, here's what we love about Dewan. Another thing that we love about Dewan is that it's like he's having a conversation with you, but he's not responding to what you say at all.
I could learn a lot from Dewan. You guys claim that I get a little too long-winded. Dewan will end a conversation like that. Regardless if his answer makes sense or not, doesn't matter. Boom, done.
51st Dates.
Who's in that movie?
Yep. Fever Pitch, Music and Lyrics, and Charlie's Angels.
There seems to be a common theme in a lot of the movies that you have.
Cool.
he will not
say it, though, will he?
The theme, of course, is Drew Barrymore is in all of those movies.
Yeah.
And he loves Drew Barrymore. But Mike seems to see a theme, and just Dewan's happy for that.
Cool.
He's happy that you see a theme. That's great. So then he goes into the kitchen, and he wants you to see everything in his kitchen.
We're in my kitchen. This is the microwave. This is the toaster to cook waffles and bread. This is my coffee maker. This is a can opener. This is my two George Foreman grill cooks. And this is the cover to cover my plate in the microwave so it can't be messy. Believe that.
Of all the cribs you've done and will ever do, no one else will ever specifically point out their can opener, Mike. I mean, that's
the
first.
Yeah.
That's true.
He starts getting into the food then, and he actually starts pointing out, like, nutritional facts. Yeah. He gets that detailed.
Fish, some corn, some chili, I don't like it with no beans. Believe that.
Believe that. He does not like his chili with beans. Believe that. I like when he says believe that because it's not something you would doubt.
Right.
You don't go, oh, he doesn't like it without beans.
Yeah.
So then he says, believe that.
Eggo syrup right here.
He loves syrup.
He sure does. Yeah.
Bacon, hot dog weenies, Eggo waffles, fish. I think this is steak or pork chop. I cannot remember.
He has no idea what the mystery meat is in his freezer.
Dwan has seen Cribs, you pointed out earlier. Yeah. On none of the MTV episodes of Cribs did they go through every single item in the pantry, every single item in the fridge, and identify it on camera. Where is this coming from,
well,
Mike?
They do. They go on Cribs, and they'll go into their pantry and their fridge, but they try to highlight like the good stuff.
The cars.
I mean, usually, you know, you go to the rocker's house, and he's like, this is beer. Look, and, you know, you go to the rapper's house, I got 15 bottles of Cristal. But Dwan wanted to make sure that I knew every item in his
Sounds
pantry.
Like it.
And, you know, you can't fault him for that. I wanted to know what the mystery meat was when I left.
Sure.
You know?
So they go into the bathroom, and Psycho Mike makes a joke, and Dwan loves the joke, laughs harder than I've ever heard him laugh. We've tried to make jokes 500 times. He does not find Bean or I funny. But Mike really cracked him up
really?
With the aftershave comment.
It's called Black Suede?
Yes, and my mom got me every Christmas.
Is that what it turns your skin into after you put it on, Black Suede?
Not really.
Yes.
Wow.
I felt good about that because he is a tough crowd.
He's a tough crowd.
Definitely.
Yeah. We just bore the hell out of him. We say something we think's interesting or funny, and he goes, yeah.
Cool. Okay.
So they get in the shower, as Mike does, and no one is less comfortable standing face-to-face in the shower than Dwan. Mike is standing right in front of him, and Dwan is kind of like pulling back. He's trying desperately to kind of get away from Mike. Very uncomfortable.
You got a pretty big shower, but you're a pretty big guy.
Thank you.
Yep. So they go into the bedroom, and Dwan starts showing you where the magic happens.
Bedroom.
This is where the magic happens, right?
Yep, it's my master bed right here.
Okay, so that's his master bed. And then he points to the, you know, the tables on the sides of his bed, mm-hmm. the drawers.
It's my George, but I cannot show you guys about this.
Oh, come on. You've shown us everything else.
Private.
Private.
He has a private drawer.
That's where he keeps the Playboy magazine that Drew Barrymore appeared in, is my guess.
Yeah.
Because remember, she did Playboy a few years ago.
I don't think he's got that. I don't know what he has, but I don't think he has that.
As much as he loves Drew, how could he not want that?
His demeanor changed. It wasn't just you know, he was telling us absolutely not private. The look on his face stuff, nope, you are not looking in there. I mean, Lightning and I got that vibe immediately, so we were like, fine, we understand.
Fantastic. Yeah. He was so open with everything else, but not those drawers, man.
No
he was
way.
Not going to let you in. So Mike sees his cell phone and points out the inevitable.
It's my cell phone.
Yeah, girls are always blowing you up on it, huh?
Yeah.
But you don't got time for them hoes.
Nope.
Yep. Does not have time for those hoes.
Absolutely not.
And at the end of it, and again, you can see this at krock.com, and it's so worth watching because Dwan is just the best. But at the end of it, he is very excited to invite us over anytime he's doing something, having a party or something.
Sure.
Anytime. We have an open invitation to Dwan's house.
And you guys can come on my house anytime you want to if I have events like parties and stuff.
All right.
If I have events.
If I have events, like parties and stuff.
I'm so going to Dwan's house for dinner next time I'm in town. I so am going to make that trip.
You really should.
I really should.
There's no one happier.
Yeah. It's true. After doing Doto and Sam the Armenian Comedian,
We have a lot of disdain for.
Right. Like, I had a lot of fun filming the stuff, and there were some good clips and all that. But I really was happy to leave their home. You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
like, I got in my car. I said, I'm really glad I made it out of there. With Dwan, I just didn't want to go.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was like boarding your puppy when you go on vacation. And you look back, you say, no, I don't want to leave. I can't do this. I look at you, and I say, I must stay.
He's the best.
Yeah. I love you, Dwan.
I want to be Dwan.
I love you.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll tell you about Kobe Bryant jumping over a pit of snakes and also director David Lynch stuffing still warm panties in his mouth. Both of those things straight ahead here on the Kevin Beach Show, the world famous K-Rock. First, though, the Afro line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. It's an answering machine. You call us, leave a message. We play it back. Sometimes we enjoy it.
I think the first caller is my long-lost brother.
Yeah. Forgot what I was going to say.
Well,
Thanks for the
call. You might want to plan that out before you dial sometimes.
My man Bean likes to be eccentric, and for a long time, his life's mission was to get the guy who discovered Pluto a stamp.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to list in importance the things in my life, that wouldn't show up in the top billion.
No.
Well, because you don't care about Pluto. The best planet there is.
Well, it's not a
planet anymore. First of all, not a planet. Got that planet status got taken away. But this caller is referring to that.
This one's for Bean. So Frank Sinatra has a stamp, right? Well, guess who still doesn't have one? Clyde Mother Effie Tomba. Burn!
By the way, Dr. Tumbaugh died within a few weeks of Frank Sinatra. So we're in the groove. We're enough time has passed that we're about ready for Clyde.
No one cares.
I'm just saying it's gonna happen.
But I'm saying no one cares.
I'm telling you it's gonna happen. I'm telling you he's gonna get a stamp.
And B, right, but I don't care. And B, we gotta bring Burn back. I like Burn. Burn! You have to shout that. We were talking yesterday about who would win in a fight between Indiana Jones and Han Solo.
Right.
Han Solo.
Hey, a fight between Indiana Jones and Han Solo, the winner would clearly be Chuck Norris.
It's hard to argue with that. By the way, this might be an excellent time to say we've been receiving your emails with your opinions on who would win and why. I just want to remind you, it is a moot point. It doesn't matter now what you think, what I think, what Kevin thinks, what anyone thinks. Once the decider, the great Kevin Smith, has spoken, it is in the books. It's done. Okay.
We went to the decider yesterday. He said Indiana Jones was the winner, so that has to be our answer, even though that was not what I was saying originally.
Yeah. You may not agree, you may not like it, but you have to accept it and move on.
Rachel Ray is a terrorist!
I didn't understand what that was about, but funny.
Then you heard that. No, there's an actual story behind that.
There is a story, yeah.
Behind Rachel Ray being a terrorist?
Yes.
She's been receiving a great deal of flack, and it's just another stupid story, and I don't know how something like this gets started. But there's a photograph of her in a Dunkin' Donuts ad where she's wearing this little scarf on her head.
Right.
And some people are saying that's the same scarf that you see Al-Qaeda wearing in a bunch of the videos.
Are you kidding? And somebody took that seriously?
And they yanked it.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Here comes Omar,
stupid
Rachel Ray's number
story.
One fan.
What do you mean? She supports terrorism.
She doesn't. So she's just wearing a little piece of cloth on her head. That's all.
So, Bean, you support terrorism too?
Is that what's going on here?
Says
Omar Khan.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
I don't know where this came from. That story came from. That person needs to be deported. But I do like. I do like the hysteria.
Rachel Ray is a terrorist.
Wow, Omar has been saying that for years.
30-minute meals to fuel Al-Qaeda, that's what she does.
All right, thank you. We get a lot of compliments, and it's really really bolsters our self-image.
Hey, Kevin, you have really ugly knees.
Oh, wow.
I
think you're coming like that.
They're not good knees. I have to say that she's right about
well,
that.
Well, they're not a lot of time on them.
They're not sexy, if that's what you're saying. Dave, the King of Mexico, was talking about how Angelina Jolie is ugly.
You know, I'm Mexican. I've never wished anybody to get deported. But can you please deport Dave, the King of Mexico? He's a douche. He's such a douche.
Could be that. Could be that he was trying to bring back not.
Yeah, there are a lot of reasons to send Dave out of the country. But the problem is he was born here. Where do we deport him to?
Anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, he's trying to bring back not, Bean.
I know.
Well, under what circumstance do you decide that's your life's work? What's wrong with people here?
See, my stamp for Pluto guy is starting to look a lot better now, isn't it?
Not
now that
really.
You have something else to compare it to.
Not really, no.
Kevin and Bean, you guys rock. Not!
Here we go.
See?
Oh, for God's sake.
How about that? Good.
Did you guys see that?
What?
That charade is going down because you're talking about the goddamn Sex and the City movie. Damn!
Yeah, we could sense it. It was palpable. It was very, very real, the amount of people who left the program yesterday.
All right, what were you guys talking about between 6:45 and 7 o'clock this morning? Because all I heard was, blah, blah, ecstasy, blah, 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 team gay, blah.
It's because we were talking in special girl language. It's not for you.
Oh,
wow. I don't want to play this one now because this one loves Lisa, and I don't right now.
Play it.
I'm not happy with
play
her right
it
now.
Ooh, Lisa May, I want to lick you. Lisa May, I wanted you to lick Lisa. Lisa May.
That was quite the beat, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how the K-Rock microphones were there? Magically, when certain people pass away?
Hi, I'm Anna Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean on the World.
Anna?
That's how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember Heath Ledger. Very sad story. K-Rock microphones were also there.
Oh, yes, Heath Ledger. Oh, yes, it's like a big sausage. Oh, yes. That's right, Jake Gyllenhaal. It is. It's a spicy, spicy sausage. Oh, Heath?
Come on.
And this caller would like to add one.
Guy who composed Andy Griffith's theme song.
Well done.
Well done. The guy doesn't even get a name. That guy did pass away, though, and that's a touching tribute. Thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Afro. First, we want to point you back to krock.com, and it is the Kevin and Bean page and the Internet Roundup, which is where we have links to our favorite videos, and we have some new ones for you.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
I don't know that that jingle is going to be submitted to Mark Burnett's program.
Kidding?
Just saying.
Are you kidding?
Here's what we do. We scan the internet so you don't have to, then put all of our favorite clips up. What's the first one today that we want to highlight?
The first one is the ghost riding grandma. Grandma and grandpa driving in the car. They can't figure out what to do, and they decide, pretty good idea, I think, for old people.
Well, Grandma, what's on our schedule today?
Well, it's pretty much open. What do you think we should do?
Well, I'm fresh out of ideas. You don't have any ideas?
Well, there's one thing we could do. We could ghost ride the whip.
Then the rap song comes in, and then they jump out and dance while the car is driving itself.
I didn't know that anyone was still ghost riding the whip. It just now got to the senior citizens, apparently, though.
Grandma, when it gets to Grandma and Grandpa, by the way, it is officially over.
It's over.
Yeah. Officially. Right. Okay.
You remember the Kobe video where he jumped over the car, the Aston Martin?
Yes.
Of course.
The Jackass guys said, that's nothing. And they brought out a swimming pool with black mamba snakes. A bunch of snakes in it.
Seriously.
And hundreds of them.
And they got Kobe.
So we saw you jump the Aston Martin, Kobe, and... I mean, it was all right, but what did you have really to lose on that one? You get by a car,
right.
Miss a few games, yeah. Big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, Jed Garcino. Yeah, I mean, we got this. Have fun, Kobe.
So one of the dudes rides a bicycle into it head first on a ramp, and the Black Mamba's bite. That's not good.
No.
And so Kobe's watching this, and he's going to jump over the swimming pool of Black Mamba's to jam a ball. He's going to dunk it.
And this is an above ground. This is one of those backyard above ground pools filled with snakes. So he gets the big running jump to leap over the thing. And, well, being Kobe, you can imagine how that goes.
I just swallowed snake skin.
Come on, Kobe, you try.
You were one of those damn snakes.
Kobe jumps over the pool of snakes and dunks it.
Of course he does.
It isn't possible.
No, it's not. He's flying in the thing. I mean, he's 15 feet through the air. There's no way it's real, but it sure looks good.
And yet there's no better video on the internet than Wee Man, who's way excited about the Kobe dunk, jumping up and down with Kobe, who is, how tall is he?
Six, seven, six, eight?
Wee Man and Kobe are hugging each other at the end of it, and it's worth it just for that, visual.
I can't even picture that.
It's so great.
How do the guys hook up with Kobe to film something like this? I mean, it just doesn't seem to me like they're running in the same circles.
The Jackass guys are amazing how they can get Brad Pitt or Kobe Bryant and all these huge celebrities, and they're just, these A-listers are willing to...
Because they're fans of Jackass,
them,
I guess.
Yeah. Yep. Do we still have, what's his name tomorrow? Jackass?
Johnny Knoxville.
Johnny Knoxville? Yeah.
Tentatively, he's coming in tomorrow, yeah.
Fantastic. So that's number two. And then the third one is David Lynch. I don't know if you recognize that name. He's a director, and he crazy.
Oh, my God.
Well, he's one of the most accomplished American directors of all time. He made Blue Velvet, Lost Highway. He was nominated for the Best Picture and Best Oscar for The Elephant Man. I mean, the guy's just a genius. He created the Twin Peaks TV series. But he loves the internet, and he posts videos all the time up at davidlynch.com, his site. He, every morning, by the way, and I do check from time to time, every single morning he wakes up and talks into his camera and says, Well, it's Thursday the 29th, and it's 71 degrees today. We're expecting partly cloudy skies. He gives a weather forecast every single morning at davidlidge.com for no reason.
Yeah, there's nothing else on it. It's not like that he goes on to promote
right.
something.
That's it. That's it? The whole point, right.
Just tells you so what the weather's like where he is.
He's always doing weird stuff like that, and I don't know where this one was filmed, but he's sitting in front of a microphone. He's got a girl to his right, and he describes what we're about to see.
Hello, everybody. Today, I'm going to put these panties in my mouth.
Okay, now, I'm in. I mean, that sounds like good TV watching.
And as he's saying that, the woman to his right, by the way, is still wearing those panties. Not like he's waving panties around in the air like he just don't care. She's still got them on.
I'm really looking forward to this. Are you ready? So if you could give me your panties now, and we'll get going. That's beautiful. Thank you very much. Fantastic. They're still warm.
Yes.
Okay. Now, they're very warm, as a matter of fact. I'm going to keep these panties, if you don't mind. The deal is, I'm going to put these panties, these still warm panties, these fantastic pair of panties, in my mouth.
Puts them in his mouth.
In my mouth. I'm going to keep these panties in my mouth.
Right.
What That's is it? Going on?
Now, somewhere there must be the original version that's just him talking. Clearly, that's the remix. Somebody has taken it and edited it up and put music to it. That's not the way David Lynch does it. But you got to see this video just to see. I mean, there's no clue in watching it why he decided to do this, who this person is, what the goal is, what the bigger message is.
He just wants to
eat panties.
He wants to eat panties, and he loves those panties, and he's going to keep them in his mouth, he says. And you know who remixed it?
DJ Omar Khan.
That's what I'm talking about. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 10 minutes to 7 o'clock.
We have the weirdest
job
ever.
We have the weirdest job of anyone on the planet. That's true.
We're talking to the great Sean Connery coming up next hour, and I think you know that always gets us giddy. It's 6:50 Thursday morning. Ralph is here with the show biz beat. What the hell's going on, Ralph?
Got time for a quick adventures in moving story?
Oh, sure.
Oh, I love those.
Ralph's moving, and that always sucks.
Yeah. It's really horrible. It's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are or where you're moving to or what your experiences have been, but the process of trying to get your life from one location to another is just hellish.
But at least you didn't waste a week of vacation last week doing that.
Yeah, and worked really hard and got very little done. There's never been a more inverse proportion to amount of effort put into something and then accomplishment on the other
end. It's almost like you didn't maybe last week didn't exist.
Maybe the Iraq War. Something I can really correlate it to in terms of the massive amount of energy, time, and money put into something with so little result on the other end.
Wow.
Is there a tiny piece of you that wishes you could roll back the clock and just decide that you're perfectly happy living where you live already?
No, not really, because we really love the new house, and it's going to be great when it's done.
Valley boy, he's just a valley boy.
That's what keeps you going, you know, is that light at the end of the tunnel. But anyway, I'm still in the middle of the process. So yesterday, I was putting in a security system, alarm system. Mm-hmm. And so the guy from Protection One, I'm not getting anything for saying that, but there's this guy comes over and says, he's the installer, right? So it's great, and nice to meet you. Listens to the show, by the way.
Oh, okay.
He's a fan of the show, so that was nice. And so he starts the work, and they got to put these contacts on the windows and doors and stuff, so they're magnetic, so if someone comes through, it sets off the alarm, that kind of thing.
Right.
So he's going around the house doing all that kind of stuff, and hours and hours it takes him to do this. It's a long, drawn-out process, and he's working on it, and he's getting the system up and running, and he's testing the system, and he says, I want you to know there's different aspects of the system here. You can have a panic button, so you can get emergency medical or fire or police assistance right away. There's the code you punch in, of course, to turn it on and off. There's a duress code. If someone comes into your house and puts a gun to your head and says, turn off your alarm, there's a different alarm you punch in. It looks like you're turning it off, and what you're doing is sending a silent signal saying, I need immediate help from the police. Send them quietly kind of deal, right? So he says, we're testing this whole thing out. And he said, yeah. I said, what are you know, how are we doing this? We're setting all this stuff up. He goes, no, we're in test mode. We're in test mode where the people who monitor the system, just 24-hour monitoring, they know that we're installing. So none of this is real. It's all just a drill.
Okay.
And I said, great. So he's working on it, and I'm on the phone to the phone company trying to get something else set up. And I feel I get a sense behind me something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
someone is standing behind me, and I figure it's the guy who's installing the alarm. And I slowly turn around, and there are two excellent, talented, kind Los Angeles police officers.
They didn't know it was a test?
With their guns drawn. On me.
Oh.
Nice!
As if I am burglaring my own house.
And did you say, is this also a test?
And I'm on the phone saying, yeah, I'm looking to get DSL. I just started screaming like a girl as I was shocked by these two LAPD gentlemen who had their guns trained at me.
Good times.
Even with all your years of training as Officer Gruden, it still surprised you to get on the other end of the
police. It's surprising when you have real guns pointed at you, ready to mow you down in your own home.
Dude.
And I said, I am going to be shot and killed before this process is over. Before I actually get to move into this house, I'm going to die. Turns out the folks who were monitoring the system didn't give our boy enough time to work in the drill mode, and they went to live action mode at some point in the process, and the police officers did not realize.
Did you have to lay down on your stomach and spread your legs and put your hands behind your head?
Yeah! No, that was later on. That was later on in the evening.
No, yes.
But it was bad. That's not how you want to. That's not what you want to come across. So I just want to say, first of all, to the LAPD, excellent response time.
Yes.
Good work.
No kidding.
And to Protection One, the alarm works. We know that for sure.
Everything
is thumbs up.
That's the problem. You're in the valley now, and it's impossible to get out.
That's true. It's 6:55. Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph.
Bad surprise.
That's not good.
Yeah. Cops weren't pleased either.
I'm
sure.
Not.
Waste their time.
They were hoping.
I wonder if they'll send
you
a bill now.
They said you get a couple false alarms, and then after that, the city starts fining you.
Right.
But they're like, sir, did you send us an alarm? Did you send an alarm out code, sir? I was like, the alarm's not even working yet, as far as I know. I'm just having it installed. So there was a lot of questions to be
awesome.
Answered. So, yeah. They don't fool.
They really don't mess around.
Nope.
They weren't kidding?
No.
They didn't put the guns away and go,
No, they make sure they know exactly what's happening in the room before the guns go away.
Yeah.
Speaking of guns, Gary Dorton of CSI
is
through his arraignment process in Indio, California. Remember, he was busted after Coachella for drug possession. He pled guilty to 3 felony drug charges yesterday.
That was a real surprise to me. What kind of advice is he getting from his attorney?
Apparently good advice, because all he's got to do now is go into a treatment program and attend 16 drug and alcohol awareness classes.
Okay. Seems kind of light for with a suitcase full of drugs.
That's his sentence for cocaine, ecstasy, and heroin that was found in his vehicle.
But his blood was drug-free, right?
He didn't have any in him. So.
That probably made a big difference.
Yeah.
But I'd like to suggest, Kevin, that if it were you or me or Lisa or Ralph with the same cornucopia of pharmaceuticals, which, by the way, is an excellent band.
Sure.
We wouldn't be skating like that.
No, that's true.
And if it's not in your system, doesn't that really suggest you're selling it?
Yeah, that says dealer to me.
Yeah.
Well, Gary's in good shape.
Why did the convict have to be a black guy? It is such a stereotype.
No, it just happened that way.
More celebrity courtroom news. R. Kelly, the child pornography trial in Chicago, continues. Yesterday, the defense announced that they have an out-of-state witness who will testify in R. Kelly's behalf. No word on who that witness is, but the defense said they needed more time to gather the information for the statement, so they got a small recess.
Yesterday, they played some more of the tape in court.
I need somebody to pee on me. Does anybody have to pee?
There's a clip from that.
Meanwhile, yet another person has identified the girl on the tape. She refuses to testify against R. Kelly, but a basketball coach yesterday positively identified the girl as one of his former players. So
basically,
they know who she is now for sure.
She's saying it wasn't me.
Right.
Because he's her godfather.
Right.
And everybody else is saying, yes, it is her.
Yeah, that's absolutely her.
How about the basketball game?
So everyone's speculating on who this out-of-state witness could be that would testify on R. Kelly's behalf, how it could be germane to the case.
Something like he wasn't there at the time he was with me.
Big shocker in the courtroom yesterday.
Anyone care to predict the outcome of this verdict?
I don't think he'll be convicted.
Innocent.
Which is shocking, because had we seen the video, which would have been illegal, it was pretty clear what was happening.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, if she was underage, then clearly what he did was illegal. But I just have this feeling that you factor in his celebrity, you factor in eight blacks on the jury, by the way, in a city where R. Kelly is God,
and you factor in that they are, you know, they are putting on a defense. I mean, it seems like it's not that hard to get one person to say, okay, maybe it's maybe I'm not seeing what I think I'm seeing.
I think the defense will muddy the waters enough that reasonable doubt will be raised, and they're going to have to let him go, which is sad.
Who's this goddaughter, people? Allegedly,
yeah. Do you rethink?
No, it really is his goddaughter.
Do you rethink your choice of godparent if you're the parents of that young lady, maybe? Do you rescind that offer?
The guy was in his band, I think, or something like that.
Oh,
so,
really?
I mean, he's like an employee.
I mentioned yesterday that AFTRA, the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, has signed a three-year deal with the Hollywood studios. So we're halfway home to avoiding an actor's strike this summer. Screen Actors Guild started their conversations with the producers yesterday as well, so we're hoping to get some news on that. And great movie news, right on the heels of Indiana Jones, the fourth mm-hmm. Indiana Jones film.
Yes.
Comes word of another long overdue sequel.
Godfather?
No. Oh. No. The fourth edition of Beverly Hills Cop has been announced. Daily Variety says Eddie Murphy will star once again as Axel Foley in Beverly Hills Cop 4, due in the summer of 2010.
Yes.
How long ago was 3? I don't even think I remember that one.
Early 90s, I think.
1994.
Wow.
If memory serves. 1994.
When was the
Beverly
first
Hills
one?
Cop 3.
Was it 80s?
Yeah.
1980s?
Yeah, late 80s.
Wow.
Do we really need a Beverly Hills Cop 4?
No.
No?
No.
I
Although,
didn't need a 3.
I would be happy if Eddie Murphy were to do any movie that I would want to go see. I mean, I can't remember the last thing he was in that was, you know, looked appealing to me. It's all kids movies or just horrible movies.
He's got Meet Dave coming out where he plays an alien who looks just like him and lives in his ear. Come on.
No.
This is what I'm talking about.
We actually have the theme.
Do we?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought it was for the...
That's the Beverly Hills Cop
That's the Beverly Hills Cop theme.
Love that. It's my ringtone.
Your ringtone has something to do with Batman, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Gay Wad.
Hey! With the Gay Wad. And lastly, this could be an interesting film.
Apparently, Gay Wad.
Variety has announced that there's going to be a new biopic about the story of the life of Colonel Tom Parker. Does that name sound familiar to you at all?
Yes.
Elvis?
Sure. This is the guy who managed Elvis into superstardom, and by all accounts was a real scumbag.
And into fatness as well.
Yes.
Managed him right into fatness.
Yes, he did. This guy was really shaky. He was not a colonel. He was not a Tom or a Parker, by the way.
What?
Not his name. No one really knows.
He's a Ferner, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was from the Netherlands. He was not an American citizen.
How did he get charge of Elvis?
He was a carnival worker at one time, or ran a carnival or something. Yeah, he ran a carnival, and he came across Elvis in Tennessee. Mississippi, I guess.
That's right.
Came across him and said, this kid's got talent, and signed him to some ridiculous contract. Literally 50% of everything he ever earned in perpetuity.
Would go to this Colonel Tom
Parker? Would go to Colonel Tom Parker.
Really?
Yeah. And just started hawking him, and you know, he had a lot of acts working for him. But this is the one that caught fire, and he got everything.
A lot of people who loved Elvis, as I did, have always appreciated some of the good things that Colonel Parker did, but also recognizes that he had a lot to do with the bad side of Elvis in terms of some of the deals that he got him in, the movies that he made him make, the terrible songs that he made him sing for so many years. He wouldn't ever allow him to travel out of the country to perform because he didn't think he could get back into the country legally. I mean, the guy definitely was detrimental to Elvis's career for a long, long time.
He wouldn't let him tour out of the United States because he was afraid that he wouldn't be able to get back into the country because, according to this new book that they bought the rights for this movie, he beat a woman to death in the Netherlands.
Are you kidding?
And he was a wanted murderer. And that's why
shaky.
He changed his name.
Wow!
He came to the States. So I'm saying that could be an interesting story from that point of view.
No kidding.
So, a little piece of trivia there for all you Elvis fan.
Today's
celebrity birthdays. Danny Elfman's 55 years old today. How good
he's
is he?
Best.
He's
really
the best.
He's really great. When I see a movie is done by him, it makes me want to go see the movie.
His music, it really is. He's one of those composers that can lift a film just by its soundtrack alone.
Yep.
Man, the Batman theme he did for the Keaton movies with the Tim Burton. Boy, is that a great theme.
You know, it's funny because there are so few of those film composer dudes whose names you ever know. I mean, everyone knows John Williams, I think, because he's done all the Spielberg movies. But, you know, it's a pretty short list of guys like Danny Elfman that you recognize that are so good and so prolific that you notice them. You appreciate them.
Danny's 55 years old today. Annette Bening turns 50. Noel Gallagher of Oasis turns 41.
Oh. Party.
And Melanie Brown, yeah, it's a good time at the Gallagher house, for sure. Melanie Brown from the Spice Girls, Scary Spice, turns 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Make some notes of that, Mike, so I can remember.
That is the new one from The Offspring, by the way. That is called Hammerhead. That is an awesome song. And you know The Offspring are better than ever if you happen to be lucky enough to be at the K-Rock Weenie Roasted Fiesta a couple weeks ago. Nirvana on the way, also Rage Against the Machine, and the new song from Coldplay called Viva La Vida. All of that this hour on the world famous K-Rock.
Plus, we're going to give you some tickets to the MTV Movie Awards next. If you would like to call to play El Rey de las Películas.
Yeah. All right.
King of Mexico will be performing scenes from some of the movies that are nominated.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
And if you can identify them, that's the game. 1-800-520-1067. First, let's talk about James Bond.
It's amazing. The movie is not out for months and months and months, but it seems like every day there's new news on James Bond. And the latest is another product endorsement associated with the movie. Avon Products has announced a collaboration with James Bond Movies to bring a brand new Bond Girl 007 women's fragrance to the marketplace.
Huh.
I don't know why that's necessary, but there's big money in these perfumes. And we thought, well, if anyone knows about this, it has to be our friend, the original James Bond, Mr. Sean Connery, who we have on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Sean.
Hardy and Spencer, how are you?
Well, we're fine, but every time we see some new James Bond news, we like to get your take on it as the original, and most say still the best of all the 007, sir.
And those people are absolutely right.
Yes, now, absolutely.
We saw yesterday, Ralph read a story about a new Avon scent called Bond Girl 007.
Yes, of course.
Did you have something to do with that?
Yes, they asked me for my input.
Oh, fantastic.
Avon came to me and said, we're looking to put a scent together for women to wear who want to be as sexy and as alluring as the Bond girls.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And I said, well, since I've them all, I probably know more about Bond girls than most.
Okay, but we can't say that word on the air, Sean.
I'm sorry. Since I my in most of
okay.
I know better than most about totally the Bond girls.
Not better.
Now, really. Mr. Connery, before we get to the scent, and I am curious to know how you came up with whatever you put in it, tell me about this new British actress, this Gemma Arterton. She's going to play the new James Bond girl in the upcoming film that comes out next, right?
Yeah, she's in Bag of Solace.
I think it's Quantum of Solace.
Well, it's even worse than my name.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
I think they should change it to Bag of Solace. Okay. Or
is she
Quantum of
oh, wow.
Or
wow.
Quantity of
is she a hottie, and have you already also had her, Mr. Connery?
No, oddly enough, they've cast an incredibly ugly girl to play a Bond girl this time, you stupid.
Yeah.
What do you think?
She's hot.
I didn't know. I'm just not familiar with her, that's all.
Are you familiar with the James Bond movie series at all?
Well, of course. I've seen most of them, yes.
Well, usually they cast very attractive women in those roles.
That's correct, yes.
That's true.
You stupid.
All right. I'll take back that question. Let's talk about the fragrance. Now, what do you know about making perfume?
Well, I have not much experience making fragrances.
Okay.
But they came to me and said, what does a Bond girl smell like? And I thought back at all the ones I my into.
Oh, my God.
And I tried to remember their common theme, perhaps, that they all had a smell that would represent the Bond girl.
And what was that? How did you recreate it?
My
what?
Sean.
The one common scent they all had was when they were covered with copious amounts of my
okay, nobody wants to hear about that, and certainly nobody wants to smell like that.
Big ropey got this.
Come on. What did they smell like before you got to them?
Who gives a
now, Avon.
All I care about is what do they smell like when I was done using them.
Oh, man.
When I was done driving them like a cheap rental car and them up with gallons of.
Okay, now, Sean, according to Avon, they say the new fragrance is going to be intelligence, sexiness, and confidence. Yes. Those are the feelings you're going to get when you smell this perfume.
That's right. You're going to go, that smells like Scottish.
Oh, wow.
How confident she must be to wear that fragrance.
Wow.
Most of the Bond girls, when I was done with them, smelled a combination of salty some sort of alcohol, usually cheap champagne.
Right.
And roofies.
Roofies.
The distinct smell of roofies.
I thought you had your way with them because you were so suave and they were turned on by your good looks.
Sometimes. Oh. Sometimes they were stupid enough to say no.
All right. Well,
oh, then you got to take it into your own hands. Yeah.
And Connery Lisa doesn't take no for an answer.
Yeah,
I understand that, yes. Lisa, you're the only woman on the conversation. Does this perfume sound like something you'll look forward to buying later in the year?
It really doesn't.
No?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Sorry,
well,
G.
You're not going to be the spokesman, are you?
I am, yes. Hello, this is Sean Connery. Would you like to smell like a Bond girl? Well, a Bond girl smells like the underside of my kilt.
Okay, listen.
Sweaty Scottish rubbed all over your...
All right, we got to go, Sean.
And
but...
other temple points.
Okay.
Not good.
All right, we got to go. Thank you, Sean. 106.7, K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 20...
Rubber baby buggy bumpers. Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
24 minutes after 7.
Brown now, Dave, are you warming up? You getting prepared for your performance here?
Yep. Get ready.
All right. Here's the deal. It's live again this year. The MTV Movie Awards are, I'm right about this. It's Sunday, right? This Sunday, June 1st, hosted by Mike Myers. And all the big stars are going to be there. And it's always a lot of fun to see the show on TV. But you can be there in person right now by calling 1-800-520-1067. It's been a while since we pulled this one out. What's this game called again, Kevin?
El Rey de las Películas, which means the King of Las Películas.
And movies. King of the movies.
Yes, that.
Hola, muchachos y muchachas. For many years now, we have been waiting for the greatest actor of our generation to rise up from the Mexican culture. Finally, our prayers have been answered. Please welcome El Rey de las Películas.
Come on, people.
All right. Now, here's the way the game works, if I remember correctly. The king is going to be performing all the parts in a short scene from one of the nominated movies for this weekend's MTV Movie Awards. All you're going to have to do is identify the movie by title, and if you're right, you go into the drawing, and somebody at the end of it, Lisa's going to pick a name, and that person will win tickets to join us on Sunday. Is that right?
That is correct.
8 for 8,
okay.
I predict. 8 for 8, you predict. Eight for eight.
Because of your acting prowess?
Because of my acting prowess.
Tyler in Lakewood, good morning.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
Once again, you're at El Rey de las Películas. He's going to perform a scene. You just have to give us the movie title.
All right. Let's do it.
My name is Robert Neville. I am a survivor living in New York City. I am broadcasting.
I am legend.
I am legend.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. That is, of course, great Will Smith, nominated for Best Movie, I Am Legend is, for this weekend. Tyler, hang on. You are in the drawing. Let's move along to Randy in Corona. Hey, Randy. Good morning.
What it do?
I'm pretty sure you're warm, Dave.
You never know, man.
All right, here's your scene, Randy. Tell us the movie title.
I'm pregnant.
What?
Honest to blog? Yeah, yeah. Juno. It's Bleakers.
Yes. Juno is correct.
I'm sorry, what is it?
Juno.
No. Juno?
Juno.
Okay. Juno. All right, you hold on. 2 for 2.
All right. Yeah, you predicted 8 for 8. So far, you're off to a good start, El Rey. Let's try Kevin in Chino. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. How you doing?
Very good.
Good.
Listen up.
El Rey de las Películas. You change your name to McLovin? It doesn't even have a first name. It just says McLovin. The guy's either going to think, here's another guy with a fake RD, or here's McLovin, 25-year-old Hawaiian organ donor. Okay, so what's it going to be? I am McLovin.
This is... Oh, my God.
Don't let me down, dude.
Only the easiest one of all.
This is the Guinness.
Goes downhill from here, dude.
I am McLovin.
Oh, my God.
Oh my God,
Kevin has my mind as well as my name.
Yeah. Poor There's guy. Only one movie in the history of the world that has a character named McLovin in it. You just got to come up with the title.
I just watched it the other day.
Yep.
It is.
It's that movie that's called.
Kevin, you are so super bad that you didn't know that.
Nice.
Oh. There we go.
Yeah.
Dude, that guy.
That's rough.
That guy should kill himself because it's a long life
if you have my memory, honestly.
Anna in Inglewood. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, we have two people in the drawing already. You ready for your scene?
Yeah.
This one's for Kevin. The streets are supposed to be about different people coming together. We come as a battle, but what are we fighting for? We're all here because we have one thing we do. We dance.
Dave, were you doing some sort of an accent there? Was
that was a, that was a homeboy.
Okay,
all right.
The only thing I can guess
we
is...
dance.
Oh, God. Step Up 2?
Step Up 2!
Yes!
You got it correct. Up to the Streets, which is nominated for Best Kiss at the MTV Movie Awards. Well done.
Big
you are in the drawing.
Step Up 2. I hope you win. How about that?
The only I would show, not have predicted that one.
The only show in the history of cinema that will give that a nomination, Step Up to the Streets, for anything.
Right.
Should get an Oscar for dancing.
All right, let's go to Scott at Yorba Linda. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Scott.
You ready for El Rey de las Películas?
Maybe. Let's try it out.
I got something I really need to tell you. I'm pregnant.
With a baby?
Yes. Then why are you hitting on me for?
Do you know?
No, that is a pregnant movie. There is pregnancy in it.
We were looking for Best Comedic Performance nomination for this year. It's Knocked Up was the movie we were looking for. Nice try, though.
Man, that was good. You were good?
Yeah.
Yeah, not really. All right. Kirk in Diamond Bar. Good morning.
Hey, morning, fellas. Lisa May.
Good morning, Kirk.
El Rey de las Palomas.
La, la, la. You knew this was coming, Pete. Listen to me. I didn't kill your father. He was trying to kill me. He killed himself. Shut up.
Spider-Man
3? Yeah.
There you go.
In the category of
Best Fight. Best Fight is the nomination for MTV Movie Awards. All right, hang on, dude. You are in the drawing. Dave, you're doing pretty well so far.
Thank you.
I'd like to suggest that he's picking pretty easy clips.
He sure is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Lisa in Riverside. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. I don't know how I'm going to do because I'm so upset by that guy who missed Superbad.
Yeah, that's...
I know. That does hurt us.
My God.
We were chastising Dave before the game going, that's too easy. Why would you give him a clip that easy?
Ridiculous.
All right. Here is El Rey de las Películas.
Are you Samuel James Witwicky, descendant of Archibald Witwicky?
They know your name.
Yeah. My name is Optimus Prime. We are autonomous robotic organisms from the planet Cybertron. But you can call us Autobots for short.
Yeah, she got it.
Oh, she got it a long time ago. I believe it's autonomous, not automonous, too, by the way, Dave. Congratulations, you're in the drawing. Lisa, hang on.
She got it.
We just got time for one more contestant, Jason, also in Riverside on line 8. Jason, listen up. Here's El Rey with your scene.
All right. Why don't you just put the titles in these clips?
I know.
Why don't you just read the title? It's the easiest clips ever.
I've been thinking of how something Dumbledore said to me.
Oh, my God. Oh,
wait a second. That's his English accent. All right, go ahead.
What's that? That even though we got a fight ahead of us,
we got one thing that Voldemort
doesn't have. Yeah? Something worth fighting for.
That is an accent. What? Is that your British?
Chip, cheerio.
Hold on a second, Jason. You just heard the words Dumbledore and Voldemort, and you still don't know what movie he's doing?
Oh, my God.
And the English accent? Come on, dude. Jason is the best.
That's definitely
too late.
It's Harry Potter.
It was Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix nominated for Best Kiss.
You know what that was? That was you winning.
Oh, dear God. All right. Who all is in the drawing here as Lisa prepares to pick a winner for us here?
I think we have Tyler and Randy and Anna and Kirk and Lisa.
That's correct.
Okay. Let's find out who wins El Rey de las Películas.
Kirk in Diamond Bar.
All right. Kirk, congratulations.
Hey, thanks.
You are going to the MTV Movie Awards this weekend. And thank you for playing perhaps the worst game on the planet.
The best.
El Rey de las Películas.
How about some new music from that band? Seriously.
That's so lazy. Same songs over and over again.
No, that is the brand new song from Coldplay from their forthcoming album. And Coldplay is going to be here with us in the K-Rock studios Monday morning, Kevin. We're going to have a chance to... Maybe you can ask them yourselves why no new music. They are doing a... I'm sure we'll talk about this Monday when we get to it. But they're doing a free show at Madison Square Garden in New York City, Coldplay is.
Wow.
I know. Weird, right?
First
time anyone's ever done a free show at Madison Square Garden. But we'll talk about that and all the plans that they have for the summer. But yeah, Coldplay is finally back. Monday morning, you can hear them right here live on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Here's what we're going to do now.
No, thanks for talking about.
We're going to do thanks for that info, Bean. Now, this is Bean's inability to recognize that people listening do not want to hear what he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And this is while you hear commercials, while you hear that song by Coldplay, for example. Bean says things, and he just says them off the top of his head. There's no context. There's no we were asking. There's no story that we're in the middle of. He just happens to be reading something from somewhere and just blurts stuff out.
If you didn't know better, you'd think he was trying to torture us.
Right.
In my defense, though, guys, somebody has to start a conversation.
Nope.
I mean, you say it comes out of the blue, nobody's talking about it, but everybody brings up new topics all the time. That's how a conversation begins.
Right, but most of them are related to, we just talked about Coldplay, we'll talk about that, whatever.
But
you just come out of the blue with stuff like, hey, guys, 67 years ago today, Bing Crosby recorded White Christmas. And no one says anything. I write this down verbatim just so I know exactly what... And nobody says anything. And then Bean follows it up with, that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool,
by the way. Info Bean.
See, the question on all of these, yeah, someone has to start the conversation, true, but you have to have a place to go with the conversation
Good
that
point.
You start. There is nothing to be said to what you just said.
Okay.
There's no response.
First of all,
really
I just think...
cool? That's cool?
I just think it's interesting that today's the anniversary of the recording of the best-selling song of all time.
It's
okay, first of all.
Interesting.
That's not
and
interesting
second,
at all.
And second of all, I just think it's neat that there, you know, you can picture a hot Los Angeles day at the end of May in 1942, and they're going into a studio to record White Christmas. I mean,
nope.
I just would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that. That's all I'm saying.
I wish you were a fly on the wall in that.
And you got a ice water
torture. I was watching Showtime last night, and the movie that was listed was The Fly with Jeff Goldblum. No one says anything, and then Bean continues. But the movie that was showing was the original Fly from 1957. Isn't
now,
that crazy?
It is crazy. How often
I'm not
do you
asking
see the,
for
the
clarification?
How often do you see the wrong movie synopsis on your DirecTV satellite? That's all I'm saying is it's weird that they had linked up the remake with the, they mixed it up with the original.
I think you don't understand this bit, Bean. I think you think we're asking for more clarification when in effect we're asking for less.
How did that happen? Is
so
my
Bean
question
says,
to you.
Isn't that crazy? And Omar, who was in the studio at the time, goes, not really.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
My blog today has a list of my favorite five songs from the Cowsills.
Oh, I remember that.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Wow.
What? There's nothing to be said.
I mean, you know the
tough
weather,
room.
You know the weather chick on Channel 4 that Bean has a crush on?
Alita Loreska, yes.
Alita said warmer temperatures yesterday. I was so disappointed. No one Look. Says anything. Hold on. Let me just read. No one says anything. There's a long pause. And then I say, I don't know what that means. Like, why you would be disappointed. You can't have warmer temperatures. You could only have higher temperatures. You could have warmer weather, but only higher temperatures.
And that was my point, and that's why I brought that up, because a strongly worded letter needs to be written to Alita. That's
yeah,
all I'm
saying.
Yeah,
but you don't need to talk to us about it.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Who knew the cheap shearers make $70 to $80 an hour?
Oh, my God.
Lisa May says, which, by the way, is a violation of the rules. You do not encourage him. I'm reading an article about how weak the dollar is in Greenland, and people used to come here to shear sheep. I just, ... I could continue now.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Why is the dollar so weak?
Well, that's a great question. Thank you for asking, Lisa.
You're listening to Thanks for that info, Bean. We don't need a clarification. We need less. Not more.
The point of the story is,
not more.
People
less.
Used to...
Less, not more. By the way, thanks for that info, Bean, also known as Bean Barfs His Brain. I believe Lisa redeemed this last time. Well, and for some reason, Bean will not stop talking to us about pot pies. It will not end.
Oh, do I love pot
Only
pies.
Only 33 more minutes until my pot pie is done. So, of course, no one says anything because there's nothing to say.
No.
We don't need to know how long. Then there's a long pause. I don't think I could make it. No one says anything.
I was really hungry
later,
that day.
Only 8 minutes left until my pot pie. No one says anything. Guys, why are pot pies so good?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
I'm just saying.
Stop saying.
I'm just saying.
No, we're saying stop saying.
Yeah, but still.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
And we have an audio clue, too, today. We actually have an audio, one that happened today on the show. We took an Afro call from a K-Rock listener who was pointing out that the Andy Griffith song, the dude who came up with the theme song for that, died. Very funny Afro call. And after we got into the commercials, this was Bean's comment.
There are actually lyrics to the Andy Griffith theme song. It's called The Fishing Hole. Okay, now that was relevant. At least I didn't bring it up. Somebody else was already talking about the guy who did the Andy Griffith theme song, and I thought you all might be interested to know that although we're familiar with the famous instrumental version, there actually are words put to it as well.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
At one point are you going to go, maybe.
That's relevant and interesting.
Maybe they won't be interested in this.
Not interesting.
How is that not interesting? Your whole life you've heard...
Right, but once
and
you
now
tell
I'm
us,
telling you that there's a singing version of it.
So
right,
what?
But what you tell us, we don't care. But
what am I supposed to do with that?
What are we
go
supposed to
up?
Do with that? Where does that conversation go?
You don't get it, man. It's just like 9/11. I swear to God, I will fight anyone.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
You know, everything is not an anecdote. You have to discriminate.
Come on.
You choose things that are funny or mildly amusing or interesting.
I'm just...
You're a miracle! Your stories have none of that! They're not even amusing accidentally!
That's true.
And by the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories...
What?
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Thanks for that info, B.
Renee Pacheco from Upland, by the way, won tickets to go see The Cure this weekend. Both shows, Hollywood Bowl and Shrine. We can hook you up with both coming up this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, after the news at 8, Sharon Stone explains karma, which I'm very excited about because I've always been a little fuzzy on the concept and how the karma works. But now I think Sharon Stone can bring it into sharp, sharp focus for me. So that's coming up.
She dumb.
It turns 7:55. Yeah. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Thursday morning. What's going on, Argar?
Why are pot pies so good?
Why are pot pies so
That's a fantastic
good.
Question, by the way.
That is a bad question. No answer.
Guys, talking about Sharon Stone and her big mouth. She was the one who suggested that karma may have been responsible for the major earthquake in China because of the way they've been treating the Tibetans.
Wow.
Well, karma's come back to bite her in the ass. Apparently now the Chinese government... has said they will no longer show any movies that Sharon Stone stars in.
Oh, no, they didn't.
Wow, that's a major undertaking.
Yeah.
You know what you have to do that? Do exactly what you're doing now.
That's right. Dude, they play 24/7 in China. Sharon Stone.
No,
they
really don't.
You know, I'm glad you did this story, Ralph, because China, they get a bad rap for the way they treat their people. But finally, once in a while, they come out and they do something good for them. And they deserve credit for that as well.
They haven't, they're not going far enough. What, you're not going to show Basic Instinct 2? No one did! Doesn't matter! Yeah. What they need to do is put her in Tiananmen Square and get one of those tanks they got over there.
There you go.
And when she steps in front and puts her hand out, just keep on going.
What is wrong with this woman?
Nuts. Were you guys aware of the big A&E made-for-TV movie, The Andromeda Strain?
I've been seeing the ads for
it. Saw the ads.
I remember the original.
I read the book.
I don't know how you guys saw because it went completely past me.
Saw the ads, but I didn't.
It was a sci-fi movie, a book originally, a very popular sci-fi book.
Great book.
About a virus that comes from outer space.
Right.
And infects us here on the planet Earth. And then it was made into a popular science fiction movie in the 60s.
Right.
So A&E did a remake of it, and I had no idea it was on, but apparently I was the only one. Nearly 5 million people tuned in.
Wow.
To watch the first night of the miniseries.
Bean, I'm sure that you were lubed up and ready to go with all those people dying.
I didn't see it.
Bean loves death.
It was one of the first big Michael Crichton books, wasn't it, Ralph? Wasn't he
the guy
behind the main drama stream?
Yeah. Benjamin Bratt, Eric McCormick, and Andre Brower apparently starred in the first night of the 4-hour movie produced by Ridley and Tony Scott, but it's just a monster cable hit. So,
yeah,
about that.
If people watched it, you weren't alone.
I can't believe Eric McCormick is in that. I can't see him playing any character associated with that movie. Is he a
Grace?
Scientist? Who is he?
Grace, everyone's sick. Where's Jack? Here I am. Yeah, it's kind of sad. You know who else was in it? Jin.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Kim.
Daniel Day-Kim,
yeah.
Daniel Day-Jerry Lewis. yes, he was in it as well, apparently.
So he got off the island.
Speaking English.
What?
Yes.
Ooh, like he does.
Yeah. Speaking of which, tonight's the night, the season finale for Lost on ABC.
Yay!
I'm back. I'm back in the fold.
I'm glad to hear Good. That.
I can't wait for the finale tonight.
I'm glad to hear
They're
that.
Move the island.
They're going to move the island.
Move it.
So that's the plan.
That's the plan. That's
to
Ben's
move
plan.
The island.
To move the island.
I'm a little behind.
Are you behind?
I'm a little behind on my Lost.
Should have gave you a spoiler alert there.
No, it's all right.
But in order to get away from Penelope's nutty dad, Ben is going to move the island.
Now, Kevin, I know you've missed a couple of episodes, but the Oceanic Six come back, and they basically come up with a plan to tell everybody that they were the only... Do I have this right, Ralph? They were the only survivors of the crash. They make no reference to the fact that we lived for all these months on an island. They make it sound like everybody else died when the plane hit the water.
Right.
Because that's what the other people wanted?
And we don't know why yet.
We don't know what the motivation is behind keeping the other survivors secret. And we know there are other survivors because we found out that Sawyer is still in contact with Kate, even though she's on the mainland again.
Oh, right, yeah.
So they are living someplace secretly, but for some reason they say only six of them survived. And Kate now is claiming that Aaron is her baby, that she had the baby on the island.
I'm sorry, I thought you said that they were going to move an island tonight.
They're moving the island. And Locke says, how can you do that? And Ben says, it's very difficult.
Even for Lost, that seems like a little bit of a stretch.
But we don't know. It's in the Orchid Station, the Dharma Orchid Station. That's where they're doing it from.
Imagine what this conversation sounds like to people who have never seen Lost.
Very exciting, and I can't wait.
It's always a good time.
not. And this is sad news. I hope this isn't the case. You know, sometimes you hear a story about one of your favorite celebrities, and you just hope it's not true because it's ugly. Mm-hmm. TMZ's got breaking news on their entertainment news website that Bill Murray's wife has filed for divorce, alleging that he is a sex and drug addict. He abandoned her, cheated on her, and physically abused her. The documents were filed on May 12th in the Charleston, South Carolina Family Court. That's where they have their home. And Jennifer Murray says that Bill cheated on her, has an addiction to marijuana and alcohol, engages in abusive behavior, physical abuse, has a sexual addiction problem, and frequently abandons her.
So I got that going for me, which is nice.
Jennifer says that he also hit her in the face and then told her she was lucky he didn't kill her.
Dude. Oh, my God.
That's not funny. That's not a funny role for Mr. Murray.
Unless she asked him to go see that Sex and the City movie, there's no reason for that sort of behavior.
I don't even think with the Sex and the City.
That's the only time I could pop it. If I was on a jury, I'd say.
I don't even think that.
That isn't good for you.
18th hole de Augusta. The Cinderella story. So I just hope that's not the case.
As do I.
Apparently, her prenup, she gets a $7 million payday if they divorce, so.
How long have they been together, Ralph? Does it say? Do we know?
10 years, I believe. Yes, wife of 10 years. So, ugly, ugly, ugly stuff. Today's celebrity birthdays: Danny Elfman. Oh, Danny! You know, think of all the soundtracks he's given us. Pee Wee Herman.
Yep,
that was his. Willy Wonka, the most recent Willy Wonka with Tim Burton. Planet of the Apes. Tim Burton did the remake of that movie.
Yep.
Big Fish. I mean, almost all of the Tim Burton movies have Danny Elfman scores. But my favorite, as you can imagine, has to be the original Michael Keaton Batman movie score. Oh,
it's great.
How about all of his music, including the songs for the Nightmare Before Christmas, too? Remember how great those were?
That's right.
Good times.
This makes me want to drive the Batmobile, doesn't it?
No.
Should. He's one of those guys who has such a successful second career that many people probably only know him as a film composer, have no idea that he was a big-time rock and roll star for most of the 80s.
When's Boingo getting back together? Dead Man's Party. Halloween concert. I need it.
You ever get to see them, Ralph, back in the day? The Boingo?
I never saw the Boingo.
We saw him a bunch of times.
I saw Boingo, but never Boingo. Yeah. Not the same. Annette Bening, the actress, is 50 years old today. Rupert Everett is 49. Noel Gallagher of Oasis turns 41. And Scary Spice of the Spice Girls, Melanie B., turns 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
One of the most successful TV producers in the medium's history, Mark Burnett, joins us after 9 o'clock this morning, the genius behind Survivor and Apprentice and so many other shows. And I think the new one is the one that's going to rock it right to the top of the charts. It's called Jingles, and we're going to be talking to him about that. It's where people make up 15-second songs, and that's going to be a TV show. So he's also producing the MTV Movie Awards this weekend, too, so we'll talk to him about that. That's coming up 1 hour from right now on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Bean, what are the details on the earthquake in China? I'm not very...
It was a very bad deal. It happened about 2 weeks ago, something around 75,000 people, I think, were killed. Lisa, aren't they talking about something like 3 or 4 million people displaced and homeless?
Yeah, homeless.
I mean, China has a long history of very, very serious earthquakes because they just don't build stuff in, anything other than the downtown major cities. They just don't build it to withstand the earthquakes, and they have a lot of them. So every time it happens there, it's very, very bad news.
So Sharon Stone is at the Cannes Film Festival. Ralph alluded to this in his showbiz. Mm-hmm. And they ask her about the Chinese people and the earthquake.
Why would they ask her that, by the way?
To get her to open her stupid mouth and talk about it.
I mean, seriously.
So Sharon Stone, I think, pretty much puts her finger on it.
At first, I'm, not happy about the way the Chinese are treating the Tibetans because I don't think anyone should be unkind to anyone else. And so I have been very concerned about how to think and what to do about that because I don't like that. And then I've been just, concerned about, how should we deal with the Olympics because they're not being nice to the Dalai Lama, who's a good friend of mine. And then all this earthquake and all this stuff happened, and I thought, is that karma when you're not nice that the bad things happen to you? And then I got a letter from the Tibetan Foundation that they wanted to go and be helpful. And that made me cry.
Wow.
That whole clip made me cry.
Wow.
Okay. You're going to think I'm defending Sharon Stone, and I'm not here, okay? But a lot of people are concerned with China and their human rights violations, not just against the Tibetans, but against their own people. A lot of people do question whether the Olympics – this is the time to have the Olympics in a country like China that does have so many problems that the right. Western world would like to see. And I'm going to also say that as crazy as her karma comment is, I think – more people than not believe in karma and believe that stuff like that happens, that you are bad and then bad things happen to you, even though it's unrelated to the actions that you've had.
But I think the people that died weren't being mean to the Tibetans. That's the Chinese government, not the people.
Yeah, right. But she's saying that China is being punished by having this earthquake. And I mean, that sounds stupid, but that's, I mean, millions of people believe in karma on a smaller scale all the time. They think, look, if when Ted Kennedy got his brain tumor last week, there were people out there who thought he deserved it because they disapproved of his politics, for instance. They thought that was karma, that he got sick because he has been a liberal senator for 45 years. I mean, people do want to make connections between unrelated things somehow and chalk it up to karma.
I think more people are more level-headed about it, though.
The one-on-one thing, I can see where people believe
what
that.
What you put out in the world, you get back.
Yeah, people believing a country is being punished.
Yeah, like a government is being punished by killing 75,000 innocent people is that's a step beyond.
Tell me that you didn't see not just a few, but a lot of extreme religious righties who believed that Katrina happened to the United States because we allow gays, for instance, to be open. I mean, there were a lot of people who thought that that was a country that was getting revenge on it because of its policies, because of, in this case, the freedoms that it allows in this country.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Yeah, exactly. That's not karma. That's insanity.
It really is.
But I think more people, and I'd love to take some calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. I think more than half believe in karma. I really do.
Yeah, but I would think on a personal level more than a natural disaster level. Yeah. I mean, most people could think what I put out will come back to me. I can see that. But a hurricane and an earthquake, I think most people would just consider that horrible, bad luck, and that's what happens.
All right.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I think those are crazy religious fanatics.
I think they're equally crazy. I really do.
You think the person that says what I put out there in the world will come back to me is as crazy as Hurricane Katrina is punishing America?
I think it's absolutely as crazy. Unless what you put out in the world is a certain behavior that then creates consequences for your life. If you're doing – like if I'm driving 100 miles an hour every time I get in the car, it's not karma if I get in an accident. It's a result of my behavior of driving 100 miles an hour.
Or if you're a horrible negative person and you get sick and no one wants to help you. It's not karma.
It's not karma.
You've never created good relationships.
Here's an example. Let me throw this example out. If O.J. Simpson were out golfing in Florida today and he got struck by lightning and killed,
be the best thing ever.
Would it be karma?
Because
most people would believe that that was karma because he got away with murder, allegedly. Therefore, he got struck by lightning. When the reality is that that's just people trying to make some sort of connection between two unrelated events. There are plenty of people who didn't kill someone who gets struck by lightning and killed every year. It doesn't have anything to do with karma. It doesn't have anything to do with O.J. Simpson. But I guarantee that many, 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 and maybe even most people out there would believe that it happened to him because of the life that he led, even though it's completely unrelated. And it's just crazy.
But I think it's ironic.
This is the proof that there is no karma because he is still out there and lightning didn't strike him.
All right. Bean does not believe at all in karma. I think most people would believe in – even if you don't believe in what's the downside of
– that's where I stand.
Playing along with.
I don't really believe in it, but why tempt?
I get all of my information from My Name is Earl. That's where I get my information.
I also believe that what goes around comes around. And that's how I try and live my life. You do good things and good things happen to you. You do bad things and it'll come back to haunt you. It's karma.
Karma. There it was.
See? He learned that from Carson Daly. And now he has his list. And he's crossing people off the list, Bean.
You know the kind of guy who does nothing but bad things and then wonders why his life sucks? Well, that was me. Every time something good happened to me, something bad was always waiting around the corner. Karma.
There it is.
Okay. Don't get me wrong. I think Earl's life is improved by the proactive nature of his list. The fact that he goes out there and apologizes to people that he's harmed in the past doesn't have anything to do with karma. It just has to do with making him sleep better at night because he's cleared the slate with a bunch of these people. And I think that probably ends up making him a happier person. But again, that's something that he's doing that has a direct result in the consequences that come back to him. Completely unrelated to how most people describe karma.
All right. Let's go to Frank in Anaheim who has an explanation. Good morning, Frank.
Hi there.
Hey, yeah, I totally believe in karma because it's like it's positive or negative energy that's sent out. You know what I mean? And if you're putting out good energy, good things are going to come back to you. And you say you do some bad things, you're going to have to make up for it sometime in life before you pass on. And as far as China is just like a land of negative energy, and that's a lot of negative energy to have a big giant earthquake, don't you think?
Well, so the Northridge earthquake was a result of negative energy in Northridge?
Those Northridgians, man, they are super negative.
You know how they are,
man. That was a whole different deal. There's a fault line there. That's something totally different.
There's fault lines in China, too.
Oh, Bean, you just don't get it.
They have earthquakes all the time there.
Check out the negative energy of a rubber band. Okay, you're pulling it apart. You're pulling it apart. When's it going to snap? You know what I mean?
Okay, but...
I don't see how that relates to anything.
But, well, Frank, you know what we're saying is earthquakes are all caused for the same reason, because of the shift in the plates underneath underneath the ground. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're in a good country or a bad country, good person, bad person. If you're living somewhere where there's a fault line, there's going to be a quake at some point.
It's a little green man and the great big eye in the sky.
Right.
Okay, Frank's gone bye-bye.
I'm with Frank, whatever he just said. 1-800-520-1067. What about this, Bean?
What about that?
Look, did you think about that?
What you don't learn from Carson Daly, you learn from Boy George.
That's correct. That is correct. We'll take your calls when we get back. Okay. Bean is asking for some clarification on karma. He does not believe karma exists. I'd like to point out that the people in charge of karma. Karma police.
I didn't know there were karma police.
There are
really?
Karma police, yes.
Look, I put karma. We're going to take your calls here in a moment at 1-800-520-1067. And I want to clarify for people who may not have been with us in the last segment. We were talking about Sharon Stone's recent remarks that China kind of had it coming with the big earthquake this month because they're bad people. I mean, basically, she was saying, I thought maybe it was karma. And I think that people hate randomness. And I think that it's the belief in karma is very much like the people who believe that there's an invisible hand of God that is controlling everything that happens in your life. People don't want to accept the fact that bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. They want to think that it's all being manipulated somehow from above. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So if you can explain how it really does work, I'd love to know, because if I'm missing out on something cool, I'd like to, it's not too late to jump on board.
Yes, it is. Who's got more bad karma stacked on top of bad karma than Bean?
Yeah, it really pays for you not to believe in karma.
I mean, you really, that's a long road for you to walk, my friend. Let's start with Cronus in El Segundo. Good morning, Cronus.
Hey, morning, guys.
Morning.
And Lisa May, rock out.
What's going on?
Hey, guys, karma, like, it's so obvious. You're commonsensical. You guys make sense when you talk about these type of things. And basically, if you do lots of bad stuff, people around you are going to see that, and they're going to, like, do less nice things for you, which may cause bad things to happen to you, like maybe not avoid, something that will cause you to fall. You know, after a while, that stuff will take a toll. So if you're a mean person, people will see that.
I don't think of that as karma. I think of that as you reap what you sow.
But that's what causes the karma to be something you perceive. Like, it's basically you do these things that, people see that you're a bad person, and eventually...
Okay, but again, Cronus, that goes back to what we were saying, which is... I completely understand and accept 100% that there are consequences to your actions. If you are a dick to everybody, then eventually that is going to come back and hurt you because people are going to be a dick to you. I get that. I mean, but that doesn't have anything to do with karma at all. What I'm talking about in the example that I gave a moment ago is that O.J. Simpson gets struck by lightning and killed today on a golf course. Most people will believe it was karma because he got away with murder. That's what's ridiculous to me. That's people trying to make a connection that isn't there.
All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to Danny, who is calling from Tarzana. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, yeah, karma to me, I'm being raised a Buddhist, is just based on cause and effect, period. So
you're saying karma is what Bean describes when he says, if you're a dick to people, it'll come back to you.
Now, to everybody else, the way you're using karma as far as explaining other things is what's ridiculous. So... good and bad is subjective. And if you want to take what you know and say, okay, that was due to bad karma, well, that's your opinion. But as far as, things happening to people...
You mean random events?
Yeah, random events. It's based on cause and effect. Now, the problem is you can't see what causes everybody's made throughout, time. So, therefore, it's kind of hard to judge when you're looking at the effect.
Okay, so but you would say the earthquake in China... was caused by something that we couldn't see?
Well,
or is it possible that it's just a random earthquake?
A random event but you happened to be there for that random event, so you were in the wrong place at the wrong time, which is based on your karma. So there's people karma and there's country karma.
So you think 75,000 people had bad karma and they just happened to live where an earthquake wiped them out?
Danny.
Well, wait a minute. That is exactly what happened. Okay, it's not that I think that is.
No, they may have had bad luck, but that doesn't have anything to do with karma. I mean, they just happened to. I mean, look, there were we talked about the Northridge quake a little while ago. I mean, there were around 60 people in Los Angeles, most of whom were in that one apartment building, who just never woke up that day because the earthquake happened. Didn't have anything to do with them. Wasn't because they were good or bad people. They just happened to be sleeping on top of the fault line.
But wait, good or bad people again is objective. But bad luck is their karma. Good luck is their karma. All right, it's all based on cause and effect.
I think I reject you totally.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're bad. Thank you for
the struggle. I'm sorry. Would it be awesome if he got hit by a bus like right now? Like he hung up, he said all that. Okay, thanks, Kevin and Bean. Bye-bye. Boom! Then what would he believe?
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. The Cure, of course, being here this weekend. Two different shows.
Mm-hmm.
Giving you tickets along with a chance to hang backstage with Robert Smith.
Say it. Read it.
What? Backstage with Robert Smith. What? Read what?
We just gave away tickets, yeah.
James Cho.
Hey!
Oh, my God.
From Buena Park.
Just excited about that one. I don't know why.
So retarded.
Just won tickets to the bowl and to the shrine and gets to hang with Robert Smith.
All right. Here's the question. What's your favorite James Bond theme song? There are 21 of them throughout the years. Most of them have also been big, big hit records by top stars. It's a real honor to be asked to do a James Bond theme song. What is your favorite, Kevin? Do you have one?
I don't have that category. I don't know.
Okay. Live and Let Die, Paul McCartney, was one that a lot of people like.
I love that's a great one.
I love You Only Live Twice. That was one of my favorites. This is interesting, by the way. You know who did the theme song for Casino Royale? The last James Bond movie was our friend Chris Cornell did the theme song for that one.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Madonna did Die Another Day. The band Garbage did The World Is Not Enough. Sheryl Crow, Tomorrow Never Dies. So there's a long history of popular artists. And the latest, there's a little bit of a controversy about the Quantum of Solace, whatever the new one's going to be called, coming out later this year. Who's going to get the theme? Is it going to be Beyonce, as some are suggesting, or is it going to be our little beehive-wearing pal, Amy Winehouse? And we've got Amy on the phone from London right now to discuss the topic at hand. Good morning, Miss Winehouse.
Oi, how you doing?
Very good, thank you. We're looking for Amy, please.
Yeah, this is Amy.
Okay.
How's it going, mate?
Well, we're fine. How are you feeling? These latest pictures I've been seeing of you on TMZ.com, I got to be honest, you're looking kind of rough.
No, I've never felt better.
Is that really?
Really, I'm top of my game. I can't wait for this song to come out and get me back on the charts where I belong.
Okay, just before we go back to the song, is that a diaper you're wearing in the picture?
I'm not at liberty to say,
okay.
Really.
Okay.
Some now, people would call it a diaper.
Okay.
It looks
some
like it in this
people
photo.
People would call it
a diaper.
A diaper.
Okay. Yeah. Good enough.
Never just now, call Amy, it a diaper, really.
Okay.
Okay.
What?
Oh, I don't want to ask.
What?
Amy. Oh, come on. Are you all right?
It's leaking.
Oh,
that's no.
The diaper's leaking. I should probably change it.
That isn't,
yeah, you should.
Now, Amy, I think it's full.
Oh, that's not
good. Oh, please do that. Please change that.
I had to check the dipstick.
Oh, wow.
No, I was about a quart low.
Okay, all right.
Amy, you are probably more famous now for your stints in rehab and all the troubles with the arrests and the drugs and everything else than you are for your music. And I think a lot of people are hoping that you get this Bond theme and that it takes you back to the top of the charts. People can start talking about your art rather than just your sad, pathetic personal life.
Yeah, that's what I want too. I want to be known for the music, for the art, not for, you know, whatever my husband's doing or the drugs or whatnot. I think it's important just to focus on the fact that I'm a musician first.
Okay.
And a horribly scarred drug addict second.
I see. Okay. Now, you said to the newspaper this week, I've done loads of Bond songs. There are loads of good ones I'm really happy with. Now, of course, we don't know officially whether they're going to accept one of your songs, but you've done more than one, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. It just, once I started, it just pulled out of me.
Yeah.
Much like out of a diaper.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. Come on. Okay, hold the phone away from Amy.
We don't. This is.
What?
This is very unpleasant.
This is not. That's not sexy.
I have no control over my bowels whatsoever.
Oh, all right. Let's talk about the music. What can you tell us about these new songs?
Well, I've done three different versions of Quantum of Solace.
Quantum of Solace,
which
okay.
Which is the name of the new Bond movie.
Right.
And I've done, like I say, once I've processed and started, it just pulled out of me. It came so easily.
Okay, okay.
And I'm right now, I'm calling you from my studio at home.
Okay. Can we hear one of them?
It's a studio / cocaine factory.
Okay.
they work at both ends of the business here.
Okay, sure.
And right now we're just in the middle of laying down some tracks, so I'm very excited about
it. We'd love to hear anything you have for the Bond movie.
Quantum of Solace.
Yeah.
You wanna hear? All right, this is Quantum Solace 1.0, I call
okay.
it.
Okay, all right.
This is that. Quantum of Solace. Kelly Savalas.
I'm sorry.
Titan Tony Gonzalez. Cindy Margolis.
All right, you're just rhyming words now. That's not a song.
I thought you said you had laid down some.
It is. That's right. It's 1.1.
That's a terrible song.
That's not a Bond theme right there.
That is a Bond theme.
All right. Do you have another one we might...
Yeah, go this one.
Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah, here we go. Ready?
Sounds good.
Quantum of Solace.
That's it? That's all you have?
Hold on. Hold on.
Okay.
All right. With a quantum of solace. When I'm on a picnic, I want them two cold slaws.
What?
When I have a quantum.
You're just making this up.
I've got a gun thumb.
What is a gun thumb? I don't know what that is.
Thumb. It's the skinny thumb.
Oh, I see. Okay, sorry.
I never flaunt gum.
Okay. All right.
Amy, that's...
When I haunt a slum.
All right. Stop that right there.
I don't have an aunt. That's dumb.
That's not a song. Stop that.
Look at that taut drum.
Amy, according to the London Daily, they're really good that you're happy with.
I'm happy with those two.
Okay. Are you now? All right. Is there one? I hate to ask. You've already rhymed Quantum and you've rhymed Solace. Is there one more?
Of course there's one more.
Excellent. I thought there might be.
Yeah, this is my favorite. I'm saving the best for that. This is Quantum of Solace 3.0.
Okay. All
okay.
All right, you ready for this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Quantum of Solace, it's got a lot of solace. It's a quantum of solace.
Amy, you're just using other Bond themes. You're not...
James Bond once did a movie with Telly Savalas.
You can go back to Telly Savalas.
Yes. Here we go.
But not with Tony Gonzalez.
I don't think you're ready for this yet.
He's a tight end.
Right.
In the NFL, yeah.
Plays football with his friends.
That's correct. Yeah. Hey, Amy.
All right. Amy, we're out of time.
Quantum of solace.
We're going to say adieu at this point, and thank you for your time, Amy.
I've got a quantum. It's a gaunt thumb.
You have a gaunt thumb?
I've got glum gum.
Okay.
But not a quantum of solace.
Okay.
Congratulations, Beyonce. You've got the gig.
I've got a lot of solace in my diaper.
No. Come on.
Fuck.
What is this?
Wow. Come on.
Wait. Is it okay? Amy,
you all right? Amy?
Wow.
I just passed an ottoman.
Mark Burnett joins us after the news at 9 to talk about his new show, Jingles. Ralph, we've got to get you on that show as some sort of a host or something.
Well,
judge.
I need to be involved somehow.
You
with
do.
Jingles.
You absolutely have to be. Yeah. And maybe our little pal Omar, by the way, who is the Jingle Meister on the Kevin and Bean Show. Maybe we need to get him involved, too, because
it's right up his alley.
Anyway, that's coming up just after the news. First, Ralph is here with the final showbiz beat for the day. What's going on?
Hey, remember how everyone was saying, oh, Ashley Simpson, she's pregnant. That's why her and Pete Wentz are getting married. And
yeah, they announced that.
Pete Wentz said, no, 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 she's not pregnant. She's not pregnant. No, 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 she's not pregnant. Guess what?
Pregnant.
Ashley Simpson's pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh. They just announced today. While many have speculated about this, we wanted to wait until our first trimester to officially confirm that we're expecting our first child. This is truly the most joyous time in our lives, and we're excited to share the happy news and start our family.
Hmm.
Flimsy! Pete Wentz, by the way, he was the one saying, I don't know how these things get started, man. People just make up lies, man. What are they going to do next? Say I have a gay love affair? Yeah. Well, if one's true, Pete. One rumor's true.
You do learn pretty much that a denial means nothing these days. Really, just you can't count on. If they come out and deny it, it means nothing.
Especially something like a pregnancy. If you know you're going to have to admit it afterwards anyway,
yeah,
why not
bother?
Just say nothing? Just ignore the question and then make your announcement when you're ready. But to deny and then go back just makes you look like just a big ass.
I'm still fascinated with the fact that there are people out there who care. Yeah. That Pete Wentz and Ashley Simpson know each other, much less are married and having a baby.
They really are the biggest non-couple.
Yeah.
I mean, in a world full of non-couples, like the Heidis and Spencers of the world and stuff, at least those people have a TV show. At least they're in the public eye, the pop culture lexicon for a reason. But Ashley Simpson, horrible singer, not good. Pete Wentz, Fall Out Boy, Dance Dance. Now what?
Say no more. Hey, bud. I just got the new Fall Out Boy song on my VCast phone. It gets me pumped.
Yeah. There's that.
Speaking of bands, here's some good news for a change. There's going to be one less cruddy reality show on television. The band Velvet Revolver has dropped their idea about creating a TV show to go look for a new lead singer. Did you know they were considering that?
Yes, we talked about that. I'm so glad to hear they pulled the plug on that.
Yeah, Matt Sorum, the drummer, tells StarPulse.com that although producers were hot on the idea, they just decided it wasn't the right forum to do it in.
They are correct.
Yes. But he says they have some ideas for the band that are going to surprise everyone, so keep tuned to this Velvet Revolver update station.
I told you my idea, Ralph. What
no,
they need
I
to do
not.
Is...
You did not tell me.
They need to hire that young David Cook as their new lead singer. That's what they need to do.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
He'd be terrific.
He'd be awesome.
Oh, who's that? The American Idol dude?
Yeah.
American Idol winner, yeah.
Good singer.
Great rock voice.
Good singer. And he's banging Kimberly Caldwell.
Yeah. I don't know who that is either.
She's another American Idol light. She does the American Idol pregame show on TV Guide Channel.
Oh, God. Really?
Yes.
Really?
Along with Justin Guarini.
Really?
I wouldn't kid about such a thing.
Wow.
MTV will be honoring Adam Sandler's body of work this Sunday at the MTV Movie Awards.
Lifetime Achievement Award.
Lifetime Achievement for his amazing contribution to Hollywood.
Well, I mean, he is to the MTV generation what an Al Pacino or somebody would be to the Oscars generation.
Yes, absolutely. And Little Nicky is Serpico.
No.
If you're using that analogy.
Right.
Little Nicky was
the water
not good.
Boy is the godfather, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm just
don't
saying.
Mess with Zohan.
Oh, I can't wait. That looks funny.
Is two for the money.
That's like crazy.
Yeah.
Only not as good.
Hey! Wait a minute.
Yeah, that was a
that's
good compliment
you.
To your
yeah.
film. Right.
Okay, never mind. So, yeah, that's this Sunday. You can check that out on the TV.
I like Adam Sandler. I like him
too.
A lot. I think he's a funny guy. I don't go to his movies, but I do enjoy him as a comedian, as a person.
Okay. As a person, you have
yeah,
lunch
do.
With him a bunch.
He seems like a super cool dude. That's what I'm saying.
Having coffee over there at the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf.
I would enjoy hanging out with Adam Sandler. He's a fun guy.
Daily Variety magazine reports this morning that Eddie Murphy is going to do a fourth edition of Beverly Hills Cop.
Fourth BHC.
Yes.
No, this is people who can't get a good movie together, so they have to go back to the well.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep.
From
but that's
20
a well
years
that
ago.
Has been dry for some time now.
No kidding.
Oh. He's got Hey, I'm Dave coming out soon. That's going to be
Dave.
Good.
Meet Dave.
Meet Dave.
Yeah. That was Dave's porno name, I think, by the way, back in the day. Eddie Murphy's Beverly Hills Cop 4 will come out in the summer of 2010, so start marking your calendars.
Yes,
now.
I will.
The three films previous, the Beverly Hills Cop films, have grossed a total of $712 million worldwide.
Wow.
Well, there's your answer,
then. Quarters of a billion dollars.
One was the huge hit, right?
Yeah, and two then, did very,
and two
very
was,
well.
Too, yeah.
Well. And then three was the law of diminishing returns, and then four will be saddled with.
This is just like exactly the same conversation we had yesterday when you said there's a Jurassic Park 4 in the works.
I mean, it's
what Lisa said. You got the built-in box office potential. Go for it.
And speaking of sequels, Patrick Swayze says he doesn't know anything about a Point Break sequel.
Come on!
Although the guy who wrote the original film insists that Patrick has agreed to reprise his role and that Keanu Reeves is also on board for a sequel.
Isn't Patrick Swayze sick?
Well, that's part of the reason he says he's not really interested in participating. He says he is baffled by claims that he's taking time out from his cancer treatments to go star in Point Break 2.
Yeah. But if there's a reason to take a break from it,
that would be it.
Point Break 2 would be it.
Yeah. Come on, Brody.
He looked pretty good at the Laker game the other night. He definitely has lost some weight. There's no question about that. But he basically looked like he was doing all right.
Would you say he has a gaunt thumb?
I would.
I don't think anyone's ever said that.
Amy Winehouse just said it. I heard her.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Composer Danny Elfman is 55 years old today. I got a lot of emails as we've been talking about Danny's career as a composer for film and television.
Right.
Uh-huh. Of soundtrack we forgot, Beetlejuice, by the way.
Sure, of course.
What a great job he did with that. We were mentioning off-air the Simpsons theme song is also his. And a lot of Oingo Boingo fans are very angry with me because we're not playing any Oingo Boingo today. Get over it.
I mean, they were great, but I mean, he's really better known as a film composer now. He just is.
Danny's 55 years old today. Actress Annette Bening turns 50. Noel Gallagher of Oasis is 41. And Scary Spice of the Spice Girls, Melanie Brown, turns 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
When is it coming on? That's all I need to know.
We're
going to
find out. Hey, stand by, Ralph. Stand
by. I need it now.
The MTV Movie Awards happened this Sunday on MTV. We've been giving away tickets all this week, and the new show Jingles on CBS debuting soon. Let's find out when. The genius behind both shows is our old friend Mark Burnett, who joins us back on the Kevin and Bean program. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, guys.
Been trying to get a hold of you for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know my home number.
Yeah, well.
You're never home. That's the problem.
Mark, of course we're excited about it. Well, we got all sorts of trouble with the phone here. Kevin, anything you can do there?
Let me try.
Switch a line or something?
Different
make it better?
One. Try there.
All right. We couldn't be more excited about the MTV show this week, and of course, and we will touch on that. But frankly, we're obsessed with Jingles. When is Jingles hitting the air on CBS?
Jingles premieres July 27th.
Not soon enough.
You guys would be so good at that show. I mean, it's a show for people who've got a quick mind, like lyrical skills, obviously,
right.
Some musical talent. And, you know, I think that it's time for a resurgence of great jingles. I mean, you can all think of the great jingles of the past, right?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Remember that for Alka-Seltzer?
Sure.
Of course, yeah. But how did it become a show, Mark? Tell me about how this one, I mean, it's one thing to think, hey, jingles are fun. It's another thing to think, I know, we can make it a reality show.
It's a talent competition. So much like many talent competitions are just doing karaoke, basically, in this case, they're given at the beginning of the episode, okay, this week it's a new kind of fruity chewing gum, and here's what it stands for. Then the teams go away, and we follow for a couple of acts the teams going through the process of arguing with each other about who gets what props and what their jingle will be. The clock is ticking down. They'll never have enough time. And now we're bussing them over to the stage in front of hundreds of people and our judges. And one after another, the eight teams get up and perform their jingle on a set. We're providing them with four sitcom-style sets, backing dancers, backing musicians, costumes. They can choose all of that to bring across to the audience. Why is their idea going to really stick in America's mind?
So it's like doing a live commercial in front of an audience.
Yes.
Wow.
Now, I have, I mean, really, you're not even going to want to do the show when you hear some of Omar's work on our program.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I know you listen occasionally, Mark. I don't know if you heard Omar's jingle for a Magic Mountain giveaway that we did.
Abracadabra. I want to reach out and give you ticks.
We got ticks to Magic Mountain. And Chris Angel's gonna ask you a question. Get it right, you'll go tonight. It's gonna be sick. It's gonna be magic.
Abracadabra.
I mean, come on.
on.
Done. I'm going to win.
How do you keep Omar's? How do you keep him down, Mark?
You know, I cannot allow him on the show. He's just too good.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we're saying.
That's the problem. Yeah. It would be a ringer.
That's what we're saying.
A lot of people may not think about this, how the job works here, but Omar is our behind-the-scenes guy who's responsible for a lot of the sounds that you hear on the air. And we go to him and we go, hey, in 30 minutes, we need a song about. And that's exactly the situation that Mark described that his contestants are going to be going through on Jingles, which is he's got to come up with something and sing it and write it and produce and everything like that in a very short amount of time. Of course, we don't have any level of quality control on this program, Mark, and I'm sure it'll be different on the CBS show.
You mean it's all gold?
How dare you?
But, you know, all of you guys, I mean, you're doing everyday live radio. You've got to think on your feet all the time. That's the kind of person that will do well on this show. You've got to be every week coming up with something dynamic and memorable every week on the spot.
That's how we come up with stuff like Cleo Eats the Weenie.
Cleo Eats the Weenie. Cleo Eats the Weenie. Cleo Eats the Weenie. And did I mention she has big, big boobs?
Wow, what do you get if you win Jingles, Mark?
$100,000, and we're also working on getting a deal for the winner to work with a major New York advertising agency.
Ah.
In that, you know, obviously, if someone's good at this stuff, that good to win this thing, maybe they could have some sort of career in it, which, you know, people made a lot of money, you know, not that it really mattered. Barry Manilow, you know, started off writing jingles.
Right,
of course.
You know, you're a huge Barry Manilow fan. I know that.
Bean is. Yeah.
I am. I mean, he's the one who wrote the words for You Deserve a Break Today, the McDonald's one. I mean, he did dozens of very, very popular commercials back in the 70s. You're right. He made a great living. And there are people, that's their job today, right? That's what they do is write little jingle songs.
Absolutely. It's a full-time gig. And it's a little bit, I can see dramatically on this show, a little bit like that movie Music and Lyrics. Someone maybe has a melody, but, you know, and as a catchy tune, someone else has got to put really either funny or meaningful lyrics. Like what you've just been playing me, it's so K-Rock.
Yeah,
and people remember those.
And by that, you mean bad. do you...
You know how much I love K-Rock. I've always...
Do you have a jingle for the show Jingles?
No, but that's something we need to do, obviously. That would be the first episode.
Yeah. I would like to pitch...
It's Jingles.
Oh,
how about that?
Quick. I
mean, that's catchy, right?
Yeah, and the sort of thing the judge would say there is, you know, in its brevity, it works. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hey, Mark, this is Mark Burnett. We're talking to you on the phone today about the Jingles show debuting in July on CBS. Who's hosting
it's
your program?
Jingles.
Who's hosting your show, Mark?
I'm in the middle of a contract negotiation right now, and if I pull this off, it'll be very, very good for everybody.
It's Jingles.
I'm guessing soon to be ex-president George Bush.
Who told you?
I have my sources, Mark.
And also, the other judge there is Scott McClellan.
Oh, good.
More
see
politics.
That?
Give me a jingle. Give me a jingle. Break me off a piece of that jingle show.
It's a little derivative, I think, Omar.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not fully clean until your jingle fully clean.
Does that work?
Not so much.
Oh, geez. Okay.
In and out. In and out. That's what a jingle show's all about.
Well, you're not even trying that anymore. That's a bit.
This is not on note.
It's not
the
good.
Theme or,
All right, real quick before we let you go, Mark, and we love the Jingles show. We really couldn't be more excited about it. We're not kidding about that. Let's talk about the MTV Movie Awards. They are happening live again this year on MTV, hosted by Mike Myers. Coldplay is going to be performing. Pussycat Dolls. I guess a special tribute to Adam Sandler. What else do you want people to know about as they make plans to tune in this weekend?
Announcement going out today, so I'll tell you first. Tom Cruise.
Wow. Okay.
Going to be there presenting. Will Smith is going to be there presenting. We have Johnny Depp again this year.
Wow.
You mentioned Adam Sandler's getting a Generation Award, which is, you know, just celebrating what he's given to this MTV audience. You know, we have the guys from Tropic Thunder who've made a short film.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Mike Myers, you know, if you go on MTV's website, you'll see some clips. Mike Myers has turned in two incredible short spoof films, one about a craft service lady called Tristan, right, and one about an animal wrangler called Bucky. Two unbelievably brand new crazy characters.
But has awesome. He come up with
it's Jingles?
You know, I bet he could.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think he has that kind of talent.
I don't think so.
Well, it's always a good show, and again, it airs on Sunday on MTV, 7:30 for the pre-show, 8 o'clock. I guess those are probably East Coast time, so for us out here, it'd be probably 4:30 and 5 o'clock. But we're looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to Jingles, Mark, and let's not make it so long between next time we talk to you, all right, dude?
No, that's great. You know, and Movie Awards, by the way, you know it's live, so it's done in 2 hours. It's not going to go on and on for hours and hours. It's a real jam-packed show, and you know, celebrating the movies that K-Rock listeners go and see.
Fantastic. We're in.
All right, guys.
Not as much as we're in on
It's Jingles.
July 27th, but thank you, Mark.
Take care.
Bye now.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
How about a great prize today? A $50 gift card from Chili's.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back.
Okay, all right. We don't have much time today, boys. Sorry. Plus, we'll give you your choice of tickets to these upcoming great K-Rock shows: Flowbots, Panic at the Disco, STP, or Jimmy Eat World. 1-800-520-1067. Where do you want to start today?
Let's start with Nicole, who is calling from Los Angeles. Good morning, Nicole.
What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
Hello. I just wanted to know if you guys ever ordered those salt and pepper shakers for Dave.
We did. Dave the King of Mexico. We ordered salt and pepper shakers that look like Dave and Kristen Bell.
And he's going to give them to Kristen because she's got a collection of them, right?
And they're supposed to come in the mail today is what we're being told, Nicole.
Wow.
And we've seen a picture of them, and they look neither like Dave nor Kristen Bell.
But you have to make sure to post it on K-Rock.
Oh, we will. We will.
Absolutely.
Actually, they're supposed to come tomorrow. I'm sorry. They're supposed to come tomorrow. So.
And the plan is that this is part of Dave's master effort to win Kristen Bell for himself. He feels like if he buys her salt and pepper shakers, she cannot refuse his sexual advances. That's his way of thinking.
By the way, story this week, Kristen Bell, huge Detroit Red Wings fan.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. She's got bad taste all around in sports.
Exactly. Clippers and Red Wings.
That's rough. All right, let's go to Izzy in Chatsworth. This is an unlikely call. Hi, Izzy.
Hey, what it do, party people?
What it do?
What it do?
Thanks to Reese. Resourceful blog, I found a new favorite show.
What's that?
1,000 Ways to Die on Spike.
Let me tell you about 1,000 Ways to Die. We haven't talked about this show yet on the air. Have you guys seen it yet?
Uh-uh.
Nope, but if Bean's into it, there must be death.
Oh, you found it on Bean's blog?
Bean's blog.
Oh, no.
Izzy, tell him about 1,000 Ways to Die and tell him why it's an awesome show.
It's a great show. It shows many ways people die and the oddest and weirdest way you can die, like that semi-suicide truck.
Yeah.
Where a man gets cut off by run over by a truck.
Aww.
Yeah, they do. They have file footage. They have file footage. They also have recreations of, you know, a guy who gets accidentally locked in a meat locker, for instance, Aww. And he freezes to death. And they recreate that and show you why, how it killed him and whatnot and stuff like that. A guy who's cleaning an industrial dryer in Los Angeles, by the way, and got accidentally locked in the dryer and then was spun to death.
Listen to the 200 enthusiasm degrees. In Bean's voice
Bean
for human death.
Loves death.
Super interesting stuff,
he
though.
Loves
death.
He loves death.
This is torture.
Yes.
There are 1,000 ways to die, though. This show is going to go on forever. I love it so much.
1,001, Bean, when you're beaten to death by
by your own blog. All right. If we hurry really fast, we can squeeze in one more call. We're running a little bit late today.
Let's go to Mike and Chino. Good morning, Mike.
What's it like, nephew?
What's the life? What's it like for you?
Man, I'm not too happy right now. I got a freaking ticket for spitting out my window.
Well, when
do I hear a do I hear a duck?
I'm sorry.
What is that? Is that you, Bean?
It's my cell phone. It's my ringtone of my cell phone.
That's your ringtone? Is a duck quacking?
I wonder if this is Jesus calling me, because I'm going to kick his ass if he's calling me before 10 a.m.
Are you kidding me?
All right, we're out of time now. Please call back tomorrow, Mike, and tell us that story, because we ran out of time for today. I want to thank our special guest, Mark Burnett, for joining us today. He is the executive producer of the MTV Movie Awards, airing this Sunday on MTV. And look for Jingles coming to CBS. When did he say? July 27th? Something like that? All right.
Note to self, bad ringtones. Okay. Tomorrow, all new Kevin and Bean show. We will recap the Lakers game, which is tonight. Movie Beat tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Hoping to talk to Kimbo Slice tomorrow.
Oh.
That guy,
he's not coming in.
He's a badass, right?
He's crazy.
I just want a phoner with him.
Yes,
I don't want him coming in.
We do not want him around.
No.
Talking about the MMA debut on CBS this weekend. And what's wrong with Florida? And Beer Mug will try to attempt another record, blah, blah, blah.
I don't hear much enthusiasm for Beer Mug's continued efforts.
He gets, he gets like 2% of the records.
We may have found a food that he can actually eat, though.
We're trying to find the simplest one for tomorrow.
Yeah, I think we might have done it.
All right.
All right, Coldplay, Nine Inch Nails, Serge Tankian, Bob Marley, and more with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Our friend Cat Corbett is next on KROQ.